Congratulations, Eagles fans. You guys did it. You did it. I didn't think it was possible to stoop this low, but you did it. You won, and then you destroyed your city. You know who else does that? ISIS, you dumb fucking idiots. You goofballs, you greasy cheesesteak eating goofballs, okay? You win and then destroy your city.
What kind of blue collar city sings a fucking fight song?
When you get married, you don't celebrate your marriage by beating your wife. When you buy a new car,
are you sure in
you
Philly
don't
they don't
celebrate buying a new car by driving it into a brick wall? Okay, Philly looks like New Orleans right now. It looks like New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. This is how awful the people of Philadelphia are. You are your own natural disaster. That's how, and you want a victory parade. You want a victory. If you have a victory parade, there won't be any Philly left. It's legit going to look like Syria. That's how bad Philly's going to be if you have a fucking victory parade.
I was going to let you go, man.
No. It is shocking. And then we want to talk about how they won. How did you win? Let's talk about how they won. Human sacrifice for divine intervention has been very common throughout history, okay? It's been very common throughout history, okay? To break long droughts. Do you know what the Aztecs would do?
What would they do?
They would sacrifice human beings. And it was an honor to be sacrificed, by the way. They would play this goofy-ass game by these pyramids. I don't remember exactly what the fuck it was. But they would kill these poor little Mexican dudes, and they would hope that rain would come, okay? Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son, Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
To show that he had faith in God, to show that he was loyal to God. Jesus is a human sacrifice. He died for our sins, mm-hmm. right? And now everybody's out there, they're going, oh, Philly sacrificed Meek Mill. No, it happened way, way before Meek Mill, okay? They sacrificed Cosby's legacy. They sacrificed Cosby's legacy. His legacy is gone. They sacrificed Beanie Siegel's lung. They sacrificed every 76ers draft pick. Was that enough?
They sacrificed the Roots being underground.
They sacrificed the Roots being underground. The Roots are there for Jimmy Fallon to look less goofy. Okay? But was that enough? No. They sacrificed Kevin Hart's marriage. They sent Cuban whores by the dozens at Kevin Hart and sacrificed his marriage, okay? They obviously sacrificed Meek's relationship and ultimately his freedom. Was that enough? No. Do you know what these piece of shit Eagles fans did? Do you know what they sacrificed?
Carson Wentz.
Not Carson Wentz. They sacrificed the bald eagle itself.
Mm. Where are you going with this?
The bald eagle is on the endangered list. These motherfucking greasy cheesesteak eating slobs were sniping eagles out of the fucking sky to win a championship. Okay? They sacrificed an entire race of bird, a species of bird, to win an NFL championship. And as a Knicks fan, would I stoop that low?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, I would. Okay? I'd look for bald eagle eggs and I'd be Irish step dancing all over them. I could not wait.
Listen,
congrats, Philly, you pieces of garbage. You did it. You did it a dirty way, but you did it.
Oh, my God.
And I just want to keep the record straight. I did call it. We asked who's going to win the Super Bowl in a couple episodes. I did say I think the Eagles are going to do it.
Even though you do hate that city.
This is how awful they are.
Yeah.
This is how awful.
But here's my
thing. I was rooting for them, and then I was furious that they won. How bad of people are you?
But, you know, the rioting and the looting, I could kind of understand. Right?
How?
I could understand that.
Those people own those stores also were rooting for the Eagles.
But here's the thing, because if the Knicks ever win an NBA title, like just like batting down Brooklyn, like lock everything down.
We're not rooting.
We're not looting. But here's
what we're used to win. Yankees win, they don't loot.
I understand the rioting and the wild and out and shit. What I don't understand.
How?
There was people in Philadelphia. Have you heard about this? They were eating
shit
in celebration. They were eating the horse's shit. I don't understand what the point of that. Like, you're
Let me
celebrating.
Tell you, there's more nutrients in that horse shit than a Geno's cheesesteak.
Actually, like Pat's supposedly.
Whatever.
Pat's supposed
both,
the spot.
Philly people hate them both.
They do?
Yeah, Philly people, because that's all they know how to do.
Ishkabibbles.
Right?
That's
all they know how to do is hate. Ishkabibbles is actually dope.
Ishkabibbles is good.
It's amazing. But it's phenomenal.
Ishkabibbles is delicious. But no, they were eating shit. They stole a horse, went to Wendy's, left the police horse at Wendy's, and then eventually, like, this is how you know Philly doesn't win shit a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, there's ways to celebrate. They usually, you take 2 days off and have the parade, what, yeah. that Tuesday or mm-hmm. Wednesday, usually. Yeah. They can't have it till Thursday because they're still cleaning up from fucking Sunday.
They can't even have driving on the street. There's no lamppost anymore. It is. There's no like signs for to stop and go.
There's nothing to save traffic.
I don't even understand what's going through your head why you destroy the city that you actually won for. I think it'd be a great. What they are is they're retarded Vikings. What
That's
Vikings
what I was
do,
just thinking.
Yeah, Vikings go to the city that they're playing against, and then if they win, they ransack it. Okay, yeah. They destroy it. If you went to Boston and kept that same energy, respect. Dudes from Philly just taking shits on Benjamin Franklin statues. Sure. That would be
just
lit.
Knocking shit over. Yeah,
fuck tea. You know, that would be dope. But the fact that you're destroying your own city in celebration, who has to pay for it? You, dummy. It's coming out of your taxes. Okay? I bet you hope you get some overtime working at Dunkin' Donuts.
Guys, I like the passion. This is the saddest I've been. I think this is how people felt when Trump won. Who care about like politics? This is my, like, I was looking at the like Belichick, like Hillary. I was like, there's no way you blow this. And then this motherfucker is trying to throw go routes to Tom Brady and run reverses on fucking the final kickoff. And I just watched him do this, and I just said, how the fuck? And that's how these cucks were acting when Hillary lost.
It's true.
How did you not go to Wisconsin, bitch? I'm just sitting there like, why do you not run the ball, Bill? This is the worst fucking day I've had that doesn't have to do with Dallas sports.
I'm not going to lie.
As a fan, ever.
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I'm kind of happy that Brady lost. And the way he lost, right?
Because he lost.
He lost.
Yeah.
He played hell of a game.
He didn't lose. His defense lost.
Well, that's the thing about Brady. If he wins, it's, oh my God, he's the greatest. But if they lose, you know, it's, oh, the defense is falling.
Doug Peterson.
500 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Hey, man.
We got to be honest.
If he lost, it was because the defense.
Yeah, and you got to be honest. Doug Peterson won the game. That was a brilliant fucking game plan.
Sure, genius.
He out-Belichicked Belichick.
He out-Belichicked Belichick.
You said that on the text.
Yeah, he out-Belichicked Belichick. It was a great game. And look, I understand where you're going with it. I just think when Matt Patricia is the defensive coordinator. First of all, poor Detroit that they got to deal with that. Okay, if they haven't historically had enough bad luck, they're going to get a head coach with a guy whose defense was trash all year.
Yeah,
trash. He let Jacksonville and Blake Bortles put up.
They haven't. No, nobody scored a lot of points. That's the thing. It's bend but don't break, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. No,
like, apparently their red zone defense was supposedly really good, but. The thing was, they were getting beat off of like these beautiful 20-plus yard plays for touchdowns. It wasn't like
the fourth and goal. That's how you run a pass to a quarterback. The way Philadelphia did it. You don't do it on fourth and five in midfield. Fucking.
And then over the shoulder. I mean, it was a shitty throw, too.
Everybody's saying Brady should have caught it. If he's a receiver, he should have caught it. But he's literally, he dropped the sixth round because he's the most slow, plodding quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
And now he's 40.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he played a hell of a game, though, man, and that's why I'm happy he lost. I didn't want to be like, oh, Brady was off, or, oh, you know, you got to hit him. And, like, that was the MO of how to beat the Pats, right? Like, you got to hit Brady.
Well, they did hit him to win the game.
Yeah. They got one hit finally. But, like, outside of that, that was probably Brady's best statistical – no, it definitely was. It was his best statistical performance in any playoff game he's ever played.
Put it this way. If they win that game, he's the MVP.
Of course.
Whoever
so you can't say he played shitty.
No, I'm not saying he played shitty. Okay. I'm saying he played awesome.
They lost with Brady.
I'm happy he lost as he played.
He doesn't mind the way they lost.
Yeah, no, not at all. Like that's what's good about it.
Right.
But you know, it is what it is, man. Like I'm kind of bummed that, you know, Philly gets to enjoy something that I've like yearned for, which is like a long championship drought ended. Like,
Jets fan.
I'm a Jets fan, dude. So like when the Giants win, it's cool because, you know, whatever, home team. But like, it's not like if the Jets or the Knicks ever win something, and then the Yankees is just like, you're spoiled. Whatever.
I mean, look, the Knicks are gonna win. and it's going to be an amazing day, and I'm going to have so much fun. But I'm not going to break into Macy's. I'm just not. Like, think about how working class Philly is that you break into Macy's.
Yeah.
Go to Louis. Go to Prada. Set your, if you're going to go to jail for grand larceny, not an untuck button down for $19.99 that you can order on Amazon.
Everything in Macy's is on sale already.
You're getting,
it's all already 60% off.
Fruit of the Loom underwear? You genius. Oh, what a brilliant guy.
And I know the
people. You stole a 12-pack.
But, I mean, to be fair, like, I know people who've worked at Macy's and stuff like that. They're not laying their life on the line for that shit.
I've worked in, what's it called, in retail.
In retail, yeah.
And they told me, they're like, you can't follow the guy outside the store if he's stealing. I was like, I'm not following him inside the store. I'm getting $8.50. $8.50 is to say, do you want this in a large?
Or, like...
$8.50 is not chasing down criminals who are willing to put their freedom on the line for a sweatshirt. That's an insane person. I'm not gonna risk my freedom with that guy.
Yeah, no, that's psycho.
All I'm saying is, Philly, they were inside the gas station throwing bread at each other.
This is why they don't deserve good things.
They do. You're 100% right. First of all, throwing bread like they're actual birds. These people are actual fucking seagulls. They're throwing bread and they're getting all excited. Oh, it's bread, it's bread. What am I? Oh my god. Fucking take a relaxing, take a little break, take a breather, take a walk, run those stairs the Rocky runs. You got a little energy, you want to get out the system, do it. But don't destroy the city.
Look at Kevin Hart. You saw the Kevin Hart shit too?
First of all, Kevin, sit down.
Sit the fuck down, Kevin, bro. You got to relax.
I actually couldn't watch any post game. What happened?
He tried to walk up into the little eight by eight. It was worse than Lil Mama. Because when Lil Mama went on stage, 40 people were on stage.
And she made it to the stage.
40 people were on there that didn't need to be. There were backup dancers and all that shit. Kevin tried to walk up to that little 8x8 rectangle that they give the trophy.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
With the you
who's
know,
been carrying the city? It's been him and Cosby the last 40 years.
Shut the fuck up.
Cosby raped 60 women. Let Kendall walk on some steps.
No.
The beautiful thing about it
they
is.
They stopped his little bitch ass.
They didn't even let the linemen up there. The exact moment as, you know, they're walking the trophy. You know, they play like the music and shit. And they're walking the trophy. And Kevin Hart's trying to do the thing where, like, you know, you came into the club with, like,
my man got caught up in the hype.
He tried to walk in and security guard's like, no, bro. And, like, you can see Kevin Hart doing the, like, yeah, but you know who I am, and da da da. And, like, the security guard who's probably, you know.
Thank God. I mean, I admire his confidence. I don't even have the confidence to walk up to, like, a nightclub that I don't know somebody at the door.
Imagine being
like, I'm texting my friend outside the nightclub, like, yo, am I on the list? What's the deal? This guy walked up to the 8x8 square where they give the trophy. Kev thought he was going to hold the trophy.
Imagine being that famous.
In Kevin Hart's position. Exactly. Yeah. This guy is. Like, if he wants to do a movie with LeBron, it's there.
Yeah.
Like, Malcolm Jenkins going to keep me off a fucking podium? I know you bigger or whatever, maybe, but, like, bruh, relax. This is my circle.
That is a level of fame I don't think I even ever want to
attain.
Many
free tickets that he's probably given to them and their fucking shit. Yeah, matter of fact, Kevin Hart.
He
did the show at the Link, sold that bitch out.
I forgot he sold out the goddamn stadium.
Yeah, he sold out the
stadium. But at the same time, it's like, yo, what the
fucking stupid. So dumb. These stupid fans with their stupid bird emojis. Bird emoji, bird emoji, ring, bird emoji.
Bird emoji's so fucking corny. Fight song is so fucking corny.
Listen,
you're not in high school, fam. Fucking blue collar thugs.
Fly, eagles, fly. Choke on a dick. Fly, eagles, fly. Get a real bird.
Oh, man.
Is it an eagle? Is it a bald eagle?
It's an eagle.
That's actually a good bird.
It's a pretty majestic looking bird. I've ever seen a bald eagle like
Philly at all. Does not deserve an eagle. It doesn't even deserve a pigeon. You guys deserve a penguin, one that can't even fly, you cucks.
The Philly emu,
just a fast ass bird running around for no reason.
No, I can't fly, but you know, I can run real fast and move my head.
You know what y'all need is a turkey, because it kind of has that beard that all you guys have down there in Philly. That little gobble gobble.
Yo, I love how people are going to listen to this and they can, like, oh, they're finally giving Philly their props this episode. Nah, motherfucker.
First of all,
I give credit to Doug Peterson.
Oh, Doug Peterson called a hell of a game.
I give credit to the team, but the city don't deserve that team.
Oh, no, absolutely.
You don't deserve that coach.
You know why they won it, and I already posted this on Instagram. This is Super Bowl 52. What is 52 in Roman numerals? L-I-I. L, loss. Philly is going to take all the L's possible, and especially one that's going to be in the Super Bowl.
Then they got seven more Super Bowls coming up.
If they make it.
If they make it.
That's the thing.
If they make, and they could win next year.
Because
they could easily win next year.
Nick Foles, who we say like coaching doesn't matter. Nobody wanted Nick Foles. No. He was signing to be a backup. Big money to be a backup, but a backup.
Yeah.
32 teams said, nah. And then we're all, not only 32 teams said, nah, we're all talking about Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
Nobody thought about Nick Foles ever, and this dude got him to put 41 up twice in a row.
No, he's a baller. And he had a season where he was a baller. Mm-hmm. So we know that he can ball out in the given the right system.
But again, credit to Peterson.
Absolutely. And Nick Foles didn't even believe in Nick Foles.
Yeah. Right?
Nick Foles retired, and he was like, I'll only come back to play for one coach, Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Exactly, right? Yeah. And I think quarterbacks do like playing for Reid.
Yeah. No, I think—
He gets the most out of him.
That's the one thing, I think, in
this fucking
football.
Nick Foles, Dawson's Creek-looking motherfucker, is going to— He is the least Philly-looking
like
dude
he looks
in the world.
Just like Sunshine from Remember the Titans.
He does.
He looks exactly
and
like
if he didn't have that kid, I would think he was everything like Sunshine from Remember the Titans.
Yo, man, ballsy fucking game. Went for it on fourth and goal. Went for it fourth and one in his own territory at his own 45.
Yeah.
He doesn't make that fourth and one. It's the Patriots.
They called that game like a Madden game. Like, bruh, they went for on fourth all the time. They threw it a million fucking times.
I hate so much that he's Eagles coach.
That, okay, listen, it's infuriating. That being said, this was the best possible scenario for the NFL.
Yeah.
The NFL got their golden goose. They got the most exhilarating offensive Super Bowl in history, right? Every Super Bowl is a defensive matchup. But this was offense. Raw, unadulterated offense, right?
Yeah. Tinfoil hats.
Okay, we'll get to your conspiracy theory in 1 second.
Coming, boy.
My point is, and Brady loses.
Mm.
You have the Patriots in the Super Bowl, but Brady loses, which is what America wants to see, because it's like when the Yankees lose in the championship. We want the teams that are great, but we hate to go down.
Yes. Adding to your point, everybody talks about conspiracy this, conspiracy that, in favor of the Patriots. Two touchdowns in a lot
risky.
Of games wouldn't be called touchdowns.
Yeah.
The Eagles' last two touchdowns, that catch that they called Ernst said he had it, that's just like the Dez thing they didn't call a catch, just like the Steelers thing they didn't call a catch. They are both catches, but those have been overturned in previous games.
Yep.
This time they called it a catch. The other one before that, I don't remember who caught it, but kind of bobbling in the end zone. I don't think he had full possession until...
Yep.
But
no,
like they went against the Patriots, so you can't say conspiracy.
And here's the thing. This is
ever. You can't
can't say conspiracy. So 100% legit win. Definitely legit loss for the Patriots, right? You have everybody in America that's watching the game happy. And if the game sucked, immediately people are gonna be like, man, we should have boycotted this shit. This shit is fucked up.
Yeah.
Everybody liked to boycott boring. Lucky football ain't racist as fuck. Baseball ain't racist as fuck, because we would have been taking a knee on that fucking sport. I'm ready.
I mean, that being said, like the ratings were down this year.
Ratings are down for all TV. Being down doesn't— It's not about being down. It's about being down more so than total
relative
ratings
to the rest.
But I do feel like the Super Bowl is an outlier for that, though. Like with ratings being down throughout all television, like I get it. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes you binge watch
That's
shit, your Netflix, you cut the cable. Like the Super Bowl is a quintessential television thing. Like you watch that shit on TV at home with people all that
if
shit.
You have TV.
If you have to, you,
and this
or
is
you
what
go to a bar.
Now
or,
is that motherfuckers are going to bars and they're going to friends' houses because they cut the cord.
Mm.
And they have Netflix, they have all these other things, but they don't have basic. It used to be everybody just had 2, 4, and 5. Like
you had
Fox,
you had,
NBC,
you had at
whatever.
Least 6 channels.
That's
like,
it. And now people don't even got that shit.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was down more than that. I think it was a great fucking game. I think Justin killed the halftime performance.
I didn't watch that shit. I went and got a soda.
That motherfucker
Justin
beasted that.
Don't fuck with that dude. I hear a lot of people saying whack. Most people I heard say it was whack.
Let me ask you a question.
I went and got a soda on that bitch-ass motherfucker.
The people that are saying, who said it was whack? Is there a certain...
The only whack part about it was the Prince tribute, and I understand...
It's in Minnesota.
No, do a Janet Jackson tribute, motherfucker!
No, but here's the thing.
Because you sold her ass out!
His ass out!
You know what it is?
You think he really ripped her titty out, and she's gonna have a patch on her titty?
Yeah, all the shit. He's like, oh, I didn't know.
It's your idea, bitch! You think Justin went to Janet? Yo, I got a dope idea. How about I just molest
you
on stage? No, bitch went to Justin. Yo, let me put your career and life in jeopardy by... you fondling my titty in front of millions of fucking people.
Like it never
stupid
happened.
Ass bitch. Fuck her.
Fuck
no, fuck her and him
fuck
taking
him.
The credit for that
fuck
shit.
Him.
I can't believe you're even defending this shit.
Fuck him.
You know, that shit would never happen in India. It'd be covered up. You'd be like, how dare that bitch take a titty out? That's what you would be saying.
They'd stone her.
Exactly. Done with a stone that bitch. Put that fucking silk back on.
Nah, but the only thing, I mean, I get he's in Minnesota and I get like, you know, give
it's
him props to Prince, whatever.
It's different because he's white.
It's different because
that's
that,
all I want everybody
no,
to
no,
admit.
No, no, no.
You know, if anybody had Justin, that same fucking
no.
show, we would have loved it.
And Justin Timberlake had legit beef. They did not fuck with each other. They were not friends.
Son.
Prince used to flame Justin Timberlake. When Future Sex Love Sounds dropped, he was talking about, I guess they were at some award show, and Prince was like, oh, I don't know about these kids talking about they bringing Sexy back. Sexy never left, yada, yada, yada. And Justin took it mad personal. And like,
yes,
like he was shitting on him in like fucking Rolling Stone and the song with Timbaland and Nelly Furtado. That whole verse is about Prince. It's a Prince diss. It's a singing diss record.
Nobody
like,
cares about R&B
like,
beef.
But they
nobody
should.
Cares.
They should.
You wear high heels.
Here's my
sit
thing.
Your ass down, Prince.
Here's
nobody
look.
Cares.
Prince
you wear onesies.
You cannot
nobody
do that
cares.
To Prince, dog.
You
like,
can do whatever the fuck you want.
You cannot. Not in Minnesota. No, you can't.
Listen,
not, like,
anybody
like,
funeral, somebody gets up and speaks for that dude, and that dude didn't like the person speaking on
yeah,
his
yeah,
back.
Somebody's
sit
gonna
your
say
ass
some
down.
Shit. All
right, let me ask you this question: if they didn't do a tribute, then what?
Then what?
How
then
you gonna not
what?
Do a tribute to Prince?
Do your I'll shit. Just,
oh, of course, Justin Timberlake wouldn't do a tribute to Prince. That's that white privilege shit.
Nah,
a white guy gets to come by and not do a tribute
common,
to Prince.
It's common knowledge. It's like if fucking. It's
nobody
like if
cares,
Meek.
Man.
It's like if God forbid,
you
like
could do
fucking
a real
like,
quick tribute. You could do like a
yeah, like
in
fuck.
Memory of Prince at the end
son.
Or whatever the fuck.
Son,
it's like God forbid, fucking like Drake dies tomorrow, and a Meek Mill has
y'all
a fucking
too much about beef.
I'm telling bro,
y'all thinking too much about Japan.
I'm just saying, keep that same energy.
Two new killer weapons.
Boy,
Japan.
I'm just
America
saying,
dropped
that
two
same
new.
Energy.
I'm keeping the same energy. America dropped two nuclear weapons on Japan. Did they not?
Yes.
Two nuclear bombs.
Energy's
boom.
Been kept for the past what?
What energy is that?
70
the breakdancing energy that these motherfuckers are doing. That.
So what you want? You want us to be Japan?
Listen.
You want us to be Japan? We just let Justin Timberlake up there doing a fucking tribute. This dude shouldn't have been
no,
back.
No, he's do America.
Do you think any
Justin Timberlake is America? He's all like, right. Whatever, that motherfucker dead. I won. You lost. You under the grave wearing heels.
Who's this guy
I'm
slide
out here.
On everything?
Who?
Justin Timberlake.
Because he's nice with it.
He never gets called out for shit.
I mean,
no,
that being said.
Y'all got to keep the same energy.
Before the Prince tribute, he was smoking that performance. Like, he did kill it a little bit.
Motherfucker was killing
I don't
it.
Know because I didn't watch.
Like, it's, oh, just.
He
I would
did
have
a
been,
stupid
I would have
what
cool.
song was he singing?
If he just did his
if it's
whole
not Raspberry
shit.
Beret, I don't know it. Prince
Mad
overrated. Prince Mad overrated. But there's a hot take. Mad overrated. All
right, you gotta go.
Prince can't fuck no kids.
Alex,
Prince can't fuck no kids.
What you mean?
Prince can't fuck no kids.
Prince
can't fuck no
kids. Prince can absolutely fuck kids.
But would you listen to his music still?
Hell yeah.
I ain't Raspberry Beret.
Hell yeah.
I ain't Raspberry Beret.
Let me find out Prince fuck some kids right now.
Nope. If it comes out that Prince fuck kids, Jay-Z taking all his music off title immediately. Jay-Z ain't taking no fucking Michael Jackson off title. That Thrill is still gonna be slapping on title.
That's because Michael
Prince
Jackson.
Not good enough to fuck kids. Tom
Michael...
Brady tongue kissed his son. Tom Brady tongue kissed his son.
That's
he tongue
he
kissed his son, and we were like,
that's why
hey, sometimes
lost.
I love your kids.
That's why he lost. Real talk.
Let me tell you
fucking
something.
Lost,
real talk.
Dude.
If a running back on the Patriots tongue kissed his son, we would be like, put that motherfucker in jail. That guy not allowed to play in the Super Bowl.
No, it was shocking how many people did not talk about that.
Because he's great. Motherfucker's great.
Everybody's talking about that.
I'm like, no, I understand. Like, yo,
all I'm
kids.
Saying is there is this weird correlation between these motherfucking pedophile dudes. Do you know what I'm saying?
No,
like,
I do
on,
not know
yo.
What you're saying.
No, listen, I will never stop. I will never
them
stop.
Catholic church sermons were slapping. You know, them Catholic priests. Motherfuckers was loving
Catholic
those priests.
Catholic church sermons were slapping. It's the most boring church.
Uno.
I'm
Catholic. That's not bars.
Invictus.
That's not bars.
Is that the back of a dollar bill you're saying?
I don't know, man. That's the only Latin I know. Son. I don't know no Latin. All I know is that.
Oh, that's not what they say.
Mama también. Despacito.
Yo, okay, listen, I'll never stop a comedian's mind from exploring, so good for you for doing that, but it's just not right. Woody Allen is awful. This motherfucker is horrendous. He's horrendously overrated. I dare you to watch a Woody Allen movie and not fall asleep.
Son,
that shit is Ambien. It's like a Louis C.K. comedy special. Before you knew he, I was falling asleep in that motherfucker before I knew he was jerking off on hoes.
asking to.
Foreign ass white dudes.
Listen, all I'm trying to say is there's a bunch of motherfuckers out there. Michael Jackson, obviously.
I'll give you Mike.
Give me Mike for white people. Woody Allen.
You're not gonna have me sit here and defend pedophilia
for white people.
For being talented.
Why are you framing it like that?
You can't be. Yo, listen.
Okay. Listen. Steroids are wrong. But they help you do good shit.
Steroids.
You know what I mean?
Steroids and pedophilia are not the same thing.
I'm not justifying it.
If you're on steroids, steroids are wrong. If you're on steroids, you are not harming anyone but yourself.
Son.
If you're a pedophile, you're touching fucking kids.
What if that pedophile is like stem cells?
Hold on.
It's like HGH. You know what I mean? But you're getting it from the source.
You are saying there's a correlation. There are way more pedophiles who aren't great than there are pedophiles who may or may not be.
If you know where these pedophiles are at, let's get them.
Jail.
Tell me.
Jail. How loud do we get on this?
Jesus
argument?
Christ. I saw the levels crazy. Off the fucking shit
I was trying to move back from the fucking mic.
I'm going to tell y'all straight up, though, man.
I mean, Jared's so.
Jared sold shit on Subway.
Jared's sloppy.
Subway hasn't recovered since.
That motherfucker is one of the greatest weight loss specialists in history.
Get out of my face, dog.
Bro, he lost 300 pounds off Subway. The bread is made out of yoga mats, son. You're not digesting yoga mats, son.
That's why he lost weight.
Say what?
That's why he lost weight. Shit is all indigestion, not food. He's just shitting it out.
Son.
That's not greatness. He wasn't in fucking Mr. Olympia. Herschel Walker, that's a fat kid who did great things. Fuck no kids.
Yo, like,
that we know of. All I'm trying to say is we got to look into this. We got to look into these motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to look into these motherfuckers, see what's going on. Kaz is sweating over here, bro.
I'm not even sweating. I'm just at a loss for words. Like, it's the first time
we've done this podcast. No, it's important.
Maybe we misunderstood the fountain of youth the whole time. Maybe it wasn't about staying young.
They say dipping into the fountain of youth, and that's something different. Yeah.
I've lost it.
I never seen Kaz with no hat.
Kaz with no hat, bro.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Real talk. Answer me this, Akash.
I'll answer. I got no problem answering.
Who did Gandhi sleep with every night?
Nobody.
Don't lie, boy.
He didn't fuck nobody. He didn't say fuck.
I didn't say fuck. Who did he sleep with every night?
Well, that's not pedophilia. I didn't say fuck. That's not pedophilia.
So you leave your kids around them?
Around Gandhi? Yeah. I'll leave my kids around Gandhi.
Go sleep in their bed.
No, so what Gandhi would do is to prove that his ability to like not have to desire. Mm-hmm. He would have 2 16-year-old girls sleep in the same bed with him.
Really?
Also, this is also a guy who got married at 13. His wife was 11. So 16 wasn't really 16 to them.
That was some old bitches. Is that what you're trying to say?
That shit was ready. He grew up in a time where you have your period. 16, you're a woman. Damn. That was the time.
No, first of all, 16.
You're out of your prime at 16.
I mean, like, yo, real talk. I mean, like, at that time, we're talking 16 was considered a female, an adult, you know what I mean? Shit, at certain times, bar mitzvahs is 13.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think
sweet 16 is a...
Yeah, life expectancy wasn't that long.
I think we forget childhood is much longer. So a 16-year-old girl now, that's still a child.
I'm not trying to say he's not wrong.
No, I'm saying this to the white people.
I'm not trying to say he's not right.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say he was great. Do you know what I mean? And maybe he had to absorb some of that greatness.
16-year-old was no child back then, and also he didn't fuck him.
That we know of.
Just like
you keep saying that we know.
I'm just saying.
That's how you get out of everything.
Listen, I just say, isn't it interesting? Because you gotta have. It's like
his wife was pregnant with multiple kids at 16.
Yeah,
she
would be impossible to fuck your wife and another woman. Nobody's ever done that.
I'm saying that to say, all I'm trying to say is,
you know, motherfuckers was like, you know, when he was doing a hunger strike, you know, how are you not eating, you know. Maybe some pussy was getting ate. That's all I'm trying to say. You know what I mean?
My man was in prison, dog. My man was in prison.
Oh, man.
I'll tell you to read a book, but it's funnier if you don't.
Yeah, like, you just let it rock.
How they got the girls in the prison with them?
I was about to say, like,
Yo, that's wild,
that doesn't really help the case if it's in prison. That's probably worse. You know how prisons get down.
All I'm trying to say, listen, is, you know, we'll probably never be able to do a podcast again after this.
You know? Because you know motherfuckers are going to splice one little thing out.
Oh, well, yeah.
Of you.
Two podcasts.
Of you.
Of me what?
Appreciate the appreciation of child molesters. On
Stop using words like appreciation and justification.
You literally just were like, yo, listen. There's a correlation
Wait,
of greatness.
Let me ask you this.
Listen, when you kill the leader,
what
you become the leader.
Let me ask you this.
Bad things can work out for you.
What comedian? How great of a comedian do you want to be?
The greatest.
How badly do you want to be the greatest?
I know where this is going.
Because you're the one entertaining the ideas. So I just want to know where
just
else
saying.
Your mind is going. You know what I mean?
You've thought about this before. What 14
In the words
year old?
Of Floyd Mayweather. Hard work! Dedication! Hard work! Dedication!
All work is easy work!
All work is easy work!
When they're too young to know what's going on. Floyd, you think Floyd fucked kids?
Say what?
You think Floyd fucked kids?
No.
Floyd beating up grown women, you don't do that and fuck kids.
Oh my God.
Why are you so old? Why are you over 18?
Jesus.
Yo, this is the best part of the day.
Yes, this is the best part of the day. Absolutely.
Just, we the
Jesus Christ.
We're just the greatest.
So, yo, more Super Bowl talk. This Malcolm Butler shit.
That's the worst segue we've
More
ever
Super Bowl
had.
Talk.
Yo. Yo.
So what the fuck? What do you think happened?
I'll tell you what.
Butler,
I'll tell you what didn't happen.
He didn't touch no kids.
Belichick
would have been
served him up.
Like, yeah.
Served him up.
But
a couple gingers from Boston. He was like, "Nah, I can't do that, Belly."
Yeah, I don't understand this Malcolm Butler thing, man. It's killing me.
Yeah, it's
he
nuts.
Was sick and he missed the bus, right?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, he didn't go with the team. He didn't travel with the team, and apparently he was sick and he had went to the hospital or something like that. That's what I read, and it could have been just disciplinary shit. You never break, you never make exceptions for people, and it could have been something where it's like, you know, we believe in these other,
there's a
the
time,
other players.
You would really respect that if they won. I would really respect that if they won.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
They lost.
They could have used him.
And they lost specifically because they were targeting where he usually would be.
But I thought that that Roe did well. I thought that Roe...
Listen, I don't know if that... I haven't heard that specific thing because, like I said, I'm too sad to read post-game coverage, but... I know the secondary got, I mean, Nick Foles was the MVP. So obviously he was throwing that ball around.
Yeah.
Right.
And they could have used, you can never have enough good corners. That's what everybody says in the NFL.
And in a game.
It's a good corner.
No, you're right. Okay, fair
enough.
In
a game that comes down to the last drive, it's hard to justify a healthy scratch of somebody who has literally won you a Super Bowl before.
Right.
So.
As someone who didn't start.
As somebody who didn't start. But here's the thing. Bill Belichick. He'll never get questioned over it. He's fucking Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
If he felt like not starting him, he didn't want to start him. They still had a chance to win it all. Like, yeah. Still has a chance.
They had many, there were many, people will chalk it up to one play. They'll chalk it up to Brady dropping that pass. They'll chalk it up to.
I do not think a sickness or some disciplinary thing happened. It had to be, somebody has to know where the bodies are buried when it comes to this shit. There's
no way.
Oh, you
think it's that bad?
It has to be. He's a free agent next year. You know what I mean? Unrestricted free agent. Like...
Are they that he's savage played, that they're trying to break
He's played
him
in nine, apparently.
He would just leave then. That's why you wouldn't do it. It's because that guy would be like, oh, fuck you, I'm out.
Sometimes
apparently he's played in
soul.
93% of all defensive snaps.
97%
of all defensive snaps. And he's a healthy scratch for the Super Bowl. Like, I don't know, man. To me, it kind of feels like.
What do you think it is?
It don't smell right to me, though.
But what do you think it is?
I think he rocked the boat.
That
locker room was fractured for a while, man. There was a lot of talk about, you know, a couple weeks ago, we was talking about, like, the Belichick shit.
The dissension.
Brady, the dissension, Robert Kraft, the whole Garoppolo shit, yada, yada,
yada. Do
you
have an idea, like, what specifically you think he did?
I don't know, but I think
he was listening to Prince.
I mean, he would have played well if he did. Well, he would have played something. But, no, I mean, like, there has to be, there's no way that's not connected to the possible, you know, breakup of the Patriots. Like, Gronk's talking about possibly retiring. Like,
I mean, apparently...
Gronk should probably retire.
Just his body can't take that.
Dog,
and
he gets mauled.
He gets mauled, and we need him just as a personality.
Just to do goofy shit.
He can be... I mean, like, immediately he'll have a show on Barstool that they just send him to. Like, an Idiot Abroad that show
with Carl
Pilkerson.
He'd be the white Marshawn.
Say what?
He'd be the white Marshawn.
Yeah, he's the white Marshawn.
Oh, my God.
He's frat boy Marshawn.
Yeah.
He is.
Everything you do, it's just funny, and you get a pass on all of it.
Yeah, he can do all the fucked up shit, and he's just like, it's Gronk. It works out. But no, I definitely think that's connected to it.
Well, apparently I've been reading, I think, that he was unhappy, and they were unhappy. It was like kind of tenuous, that relationship, all year.
He just wants to do a touchdown dance. That's all he wants to do is celebrate.
I was talking about Malcolm Butler.
Talk about Butler.
Oh, yeah, Butler, always been.
Yeah, I've been reading that. He's gone this at the end of this year. I just don't get why you don't sit him for a quarter and then get back in there.
Yeah.
That's disciplinary action. Especially, you're not playing for a quarter.
But were they really getting smoked that much is the question.
Yes, they
were down 22-13.
The first touchdown was
at the end of the first
half. Was it to Alshon Jeffery?
Alshon Jeffery.
The Alshon Jeffery smoked on his side. Going up the what was it, 40-yard?
And then they put Gilmore on him, and then I shut him down for the rest of the game.
I think Belichick outsmarted himself. Gilmore all year has been guarding the biggest receiver.
Yeah.
The best. He didn't guard that guy this time.
He did at the beginning.
They made the switch. Didn't start out that way. You didn't start Malcolm Butler. Again, some of these trick plays, I was like, you're running well. I don't know what their yards per carry was. I wish if we had time, I should have looked it up beforehand, but they were running the ball well.
Yeah.
But they're running fucking reverses and flea flickers. It's like, yo, too many trick plays, man. Yeah, I'm into it, but like, too many. You don't need them.
That Brady play was hilarious because he was going to get fucking torched if he caught that ball.
Listen, if he caught it, I would have been like, holy shit, this is crazy. But as they're throwing the ball and I see Brady running, I'm like, are you going to throw the ball to the slowest quarterback in history?
I'm like, bro, like he has...
He runs like Bernie Kosar in Madden.
The slowest running...
You remember the old Madden? Bernie Kosar? Like, accurate, but that shit was slow motion. Glacial.
Bro, the slowest running and best throwing quarterback in the NFL, have him running around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird.
He just outsmarted himself.
I love that Doug Peterson scored on the exact same play.
Yeah.
And there's something that doesn't break your will, but will break your confidence slightly. Oh, you try to trick us? We're going to trick you do it. We're
better.
Not scared.
And if you
We're
watch the
scared.
Replay, when they're calling it, he's pointing like at his playbook, like before they even threw it. He's like, he knew he had him.
Yeah.
He knew he had him.
It's an amazing play.
Gorgeous, oh my God. Yeah, it was fucking gorgeous to watch. I'm like, once I saw that, I'm like, because I think the Patriots...
Walking up to the line, signaling like...
Yeah, I think the Patriots had it after the half. And this is what the Patriots do. They score quickly to end the half. They get the ball back at halftime. They score again.
Yeah.
And then you just... You never recover.
Yeah.
So it was like, if you don't play to win and not play to like... You know, not lose.
Yeah,
you're gonna lose.
He never got scared.
He looked them right down the barrel.
Peterson or Foles, you're
saying? Peterson and Foles, but Peterson going for it on 4th and 1 is not. If you don't get that, this shit is over at your own 45. Going for it on 4th and goal, you take the save points. He just said, "Nah, we didn't get this. Is not what we do. We're going for it. We're going for the win." And every time they just came the fuck through. Mm. Credit to everybody on that team, but Doug Peterson, holy fuck. Philly does not deserve that, man.
It was a great game, man. It was a great game. And
saddest I've ever been.
Kind of disappointed me, man.
Oh
my God.
Akash's girl and her whole family's
from Philly. And then all of a sudden she cares about football. All of the fucking sudden. She always knew the fight song because she grew up in that slum. And she just kept fucking singing it, and then it was really adorable. She like started getting into football, and then she's like trying for the day, and she's watching the second half. She was like, "It's always a tight game with the Patriots." And I was like, "What are you fucking talking about?
You don't fucking know what you're talking about." God damn, but you can't say that.
Yeah.
Why not? You're just in the back of your head.
I tell girls right away, you don't have to pretend to like sports.
I prefer it that way.
Yeah, I prefer you not pretend.
Yeah, give me the sanctuary.
Just let this be my shit. Don't try to, girls always try to feel like they have to do the things that, and you don't.
Mm.
Matter of fact, we do these things to get away from you. That's part of why we enjoy them so much. It's a me time sports. Yeah, you don't have to be into it.
Yeah,
God forbid you know more than me. This girl once that I was dating, she like knew like a play in the NBA called Floppy. Familiar with Floppy? Yeah, you guys don't know either. It's
what the fuck is Floppy?
It's an offensive play.
Okay.
It's basically two double screens down low, and it opens some shit up. It's how a lot of teams start their offense, but they don't use it anymore.
I think it's a flex offense, right?
I don't know.
Sorry.
But she was like, do you know what floppy is or something like that? Yeah, they run floppy or something like that. And I was like, what? They're like, do you know what floppy is? Never dated that girl again. It was the last time that we went out on a date. Not going to happen.
Wait, so it's a turnoff if like a girl's in the sports?
You don't need to be. If you really truly like it for you, mm-hmm. that's fine. But you don't have to fake it so that we like it. Like it, you should treat sports like we treat shopping with you. Just fucking sit there in the corner. Shut up.
Find a bench.
Yeah, find a bench.
Play on your phone.
Shut up. Yeah. Play on your phone. Just when I say something, you go, yeah. Mm-hmm. We don't need support or anything like that. It's fine. Just let us have your thing. You have your shopping.
Yeah, you've got your interests. I've got mine. I have a joke about this. I had no idea that if my girlfriend cares about something, I'm supposed to care in the exact same way. I would never sit her down and be like, how do you not care about what LeBron is up against?
It's fucking odd. I want to say thank you, by the way, to all the assholes that came out. Oh, throw those assholes up.
Yeah, throw them up tight. Keep it tight.
Keep them tight. To all the assholes that came out to my LA show, man, that was so fucking dope. I went on stage and immediately the assholes are getting thrown up.
Nice.
That's dope.
We had this great sold out show at the Hollywood Improv. We got a lot of Brilliant Idiots fans out there, but a lot of Flagrant 2 fans out there. It felt like everybody in that audience listened to Flagrant 2. Assholes went way up. And, you know, we were joking around about how, like, L.A. isn't exactly the best place to be throwing up a sign. You know? But it was just so dope to see them all out there. And I'm looking at this audience. And I dead ass think I have the most diverse audience of any comedian alive right now.
Why do you say that?
I look at their faces.
Just look at the face, yeah.
It's just, I don't think there's anybody who has it. I really don't believe. Yeah. You know, it's possible Chappelle and Rock, but I would say that their diversity is easier.
Well, yeah,
because they're starting out minority. They're going to have black people come to the audience off of like a kinship or whatever. Mm-hmm. When you come out to a show, and I think we'll notice this with our live show, which is February 7th.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the beautiful thing, I've always wondered like what my tribe is. I'm like, what is my tribe? Who are my people? Who do I have? You know? And it's, I think what it comes down to a lot of ways are like people who don't necessarily feel like they get along or they have the same thinking as the tribe that they're supposed to be from.
Yeah.
Right? Like they have, you know, I've always had this kind of like different way of looking at things and I've always cherished people who thought differently because it kind of made me feel comfortable with my thoughts. Yeah, rock the boat, man.
Like, you see, I think...
Malcolm Butler it.
Yeah. I'm Malcolm Butler that shit, real talk. No, but, and I was thinking about this and I was like, I've always had these different thoughts. So when I hear other people, Akash, one of the reasons I was drawn to him, it was like he thought about the world in a different way. And I'm like, oh, I fucking like this guy as a comedian, you know? Like, right. And even like the thinkers, I'm like, oh, why am I drawn to people? Oh, because they make me feel comfortable. They make me feel normal thinking differently.
Yeah.
And it was just this really cool thing to be in this audience telling like edgy, fucked up jokes that you're not supposed to say anymore.
Yeah.
By the way, and 200 people in the most sensitive time in American history are laughing at right. fucked up shit. And it's like, we don't have to be sensitive.
Yeah.
If we get the assholes together.
Yes.
You know, and
that's the community, man.
And
like,
bro,
that's
and back to the diversity shit. It was like, what was so dope about it was these people didn't come to the show because our faces looked the same, right? They didn't come to the show because we have a similar culture or anything like that. There was one reason, right? They came because we had ideas that were appreciated. Even though we disagreed, it was based on ideas. And when you bring people together based on ideas, they just end up being diverse.
Yeah.
It wasn't forced Hollywood diversity. Mm-hmm. It was, hey, man, I like the way you think. Oh, it just so happens I'm Mexican, you're white, but that's what's up.
Yeah.
Bro, it was organic.
Yeah.
And it was just so fucking dope to see, and it's so great. And I hope that all those people there that came out to the show and continue to come out to the shows from Views from Assist, like, if you know people that think a little bit outside the box and they think differently, they appreciate it. I'm sure that people call you contrarian or devil's advocate. That's their way of justifying the fact that you don't think tribally. That's their way of going, oh, he thinks different than me. Well, he must be a contrarian or devil's advocate.
Mm-hmm.
No, you just think different. You have different ideas. And if you got people that think like that, come out to Flagrant 2. Come out to the Views from the Assist store. Make sure you go check, you know, Akash on tour and go check out Henny Palooza and all these things.
But, Do say Palooza now.
But like, sorry, check hold, out sorry, the hold. Things, my bad. But check out the things that we're doing because we are building something here.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit more difficult to put together these tribes because we don't have like a, you know, a book that bonds us.
Yeah.
We don't have a country that bonds us. But we do have a way of thinking.
Yeah.
And it's exciting to see that.
No, I've said this before. I think this is actually, as much as we try to force diversity in the way we look, this is maybe the least diverse time in history. Because even when things were like segregated racially, you would talk to people and you would disagree with them and you would argue and yell at each other and still be friends.
Right.
That's just how it worked.
Yeah.
Now it's like, if you don't think the exact same way as me, we don't ever have to talk.
Yeah.
I'll go on Facebook and talk to other people, Twitter, follow other people, IG, follow other people. And it's, in terms of the way we think, it's... it's just a bunch of little sections that are completely, homogenous?
Yes.
Just homogenized ways of thinking. And I don't think the people that we're talking to agree with us. They're just open to hearing something different.
Yeah. And they get excited by it. There's often people who I follow who I disagree with points that they're making.
And just endorse molesting kids. No, I'm kidding.
Y'all really trying to bounce me out the
Nobody
paint.
Nobody here is going to agree
Y'all
with
really
that.
Y'all really trying to bounce
I'm
me out
bounce
the paint.
What? Pain. You bounce yourself, man.
Yeah, bro.
You took one step out.
Yeah, man.
Nah, son, I'm chilling. I'm always on the line.
Nah, I mean, everybody, that's the thing. Like, nobody's going to agree with it, but, like, with the audience that we've built and just kind of, like, the community that we're kind of building, like, the asshole army.
Mm-hmm. Assembly of assholes.
The assembly of assholes.
Asshole annihilators is my favorite. Throw them up. Keep it tight.
You're kind of starting to see that, you know, we are that tribe. You know, like, the tribe that we're all looking for, like, because, you know, I may not be a stand-up comedian, but, like, I do think differently in the way I conduct business, or I, you know, write or do work for multiple other things. But you kind of have to do that. You know what I mean? Especially now where it's more important than ever to hear some shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to... there are people that I will sit and watch talk, not because, you know, I'm fans of theirs, but I'm interested in what they have to say, even though I'm not going to agree with it. And I guess, like, that's, in 2018, that's how so many people have even just gotten popular. Like, they'll hate watch some shit.
Yeah.
Just
to
be like, oh, the fucking kids, I can't wait to tell this person, da 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 da.
Yeah.
That's why I talk, every single person that tells me I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about or DMs me some shit about Flagrant 2, I talk to every single one of them because I want to hear them, I want to feel them, I want to touch them, and I need to be able to keep that mind state of it's okay to think differently. It's okay to not think differently. What's not okay is to be closed-minded about, you know, just ideas right now, because they're just ideas.
Yeah, I was
just ideas.
I was thinking,
like,
not
harmful.
So I think I was texting you about this, Akash. And it might be a joke one day, but I think there's, you know, we were talking about Akash has this great point where he goes, you know, liberals are the most closed-minded about closed-mindedness.
Yeah.
Right? Like, liberals say they're open-minded and that they own this word open-minded. But if you disagree with them on anything, they won't hear you out and they won't listen to you. Not all liberals. We're talking about the extreme left.
Okay.
Right? So I said to him, I was like, you want to know who's really open-minded? Not the person that is okay with abortion, right? The person that believes, the conservative that believes abortion is murder, but is okay with you getting one. That's open-minded, right? Because that person is going, all right, well, you can just murder kids. All right, I get, you know, I have to respect your culture. And that is open-minded. Mm. Not the person who believes in abortion and thinks that anybody who doesn't is a piece of shit asshole who doesn't respect women and doesn't respect women's rights. There's nothing open-minded about that, right? What you're saying is anybody who's not me is wrong.
It's incredibly closed-minded.
It's incredibly closed-minded.
Because everyone has their own agenda, man. Like, a lot of people have their own agendas, and if you don't support that agenda, they will do everything they can to stop you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's not really being open-minded. It's like, people are only open-minded to a point. You know what I mean? They're only open-minded to a point until they feel like you are getting in the way of their agenda.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just the way it is, man. Especially now where you can't even say certain, you can't even mention certain things.
Yo,
did
you guys read what Chappelle said? Chappelle was like, this country's turning into a bunch of
pussies.
Bitch ass
N-words.
Yeah. He said that on a special.
Yeah.
You know what I just thought?
What?
You left to Africa. That's some bitch ass shit, son. Like, you got no real talk. Real talk. And this shit just hit me this morning. I'm sitting there this morning, I'm like, hold on. You gonna make fun of the person that gets triggered in a comedy show and leaves?
Mm-hmm.
You were triggered by a comedy show and left. And then you had this whole long spiel at the end of the special, which was so fucking brilliant.
Yeah,
the Iceberg Slim story, which is so fucking brilliant. And literally that special is my favorite that he's ever done. He's arguably my favorite comic. Mm-hmm. But I just realized he's like, you know, that Comedy Central was pimping him, right? Yeah. And I just realized, dog, renegotiate.
It wasn't about
shit is to go to another country and get your life together.
But Africa's awesome though.
Imagine he went to China, right? Like it doesn't matter the place.
Because China sucks.
He just got out. What I'm saying is he got out. Like if you keep the same energy is what I'm saying. Like, dog, you got all the leverage. All you just go back there. If 50 million ain't enough for you, ask for 250.
Same energy is he went through that for 2.5 years of his show getting one, and then he just reached a breaking point. He heard one joke at a comedy show, got up, walked out. That's what I'm saying. Those are two different things. But also
I'm not saying that the one joke put him over. All I'm saying is,
but no, it's different.
You're talking about people being bitch asses. You're making a comedy show and you had to go to Africa. Motherfuckers work at a coal mine every day, go downstairs, breathe coal, and then they shut down the coal mine, and they don't go, I'm going back to Poland. I need to find my roots.
They're making $40 million a year.
I need to figure my life out.
They'd be like, fuck these coal holes, I'm going to Poland.
But you understand what I'm saying? I don't know if you're in the right position to be calling out America.
Here's why I think he's exactly in the right position.
Okay,
because to me, I always
I want to open for him.
No.
What are we all though?
I'm not Muslim. I'm not opening for him.
You got a little hair on your
hat. Oh shit! Sorry. Your hat's cool.
Go. I always saw Chappelle as an open-minded, liberal, sensitive dude.
Yeah.
Africa, the way he kind of approached race and like.
Genius.
I always saw him not just genius. I saw his genius, but also I thought he was very sensitive and like liberal.
Yeah.
So for him to be lashing out against these people now, to me, lets me know how far they've taken it. Mm-hmm. Like you guys have taken it way too far that the guy who used to be at the forefront of speaking on your behalf is now like, yo, fuck that.
Yeah. He said it in the special too. He was like, you know, you're going to have a lot of imperfect allies.
He's
like, Ben Affleck tried to come out. He's like, you know, and he's like, whatever, Nick, you grabbed the titty in 92. And he's like, well, I'm out. And
And his thing about moral absolutism was brilliant. Listen, I don't want to conflate these two things here. I'm not trying to be the guy who's hating on Chappelle for attention or a hot take.
Yeah, we've talked about this podcast. He's the greatest. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's the greatest, and he is my favorite working right now. Him and Rock.
Yeah.
And I will indulge and try to learn as much as I can from every single thing. That being said, I also believe in consistency and keeping the same energy. I don't know if you could call motherfuckers soft and act like that didn't happen.
So that's
I just don't know if those two things can exist in the same world.
Maybe,
am I wrong to think
maybe
that?
To your point, he should acknowledge that. But to me, that's why I was like, yo, when I thought it would mean more because when Chappelle is coming out against these guys, it's like, yo, this has been dude.
I guess maybe I want to hear. No, I understand your point about that. That makes perfect sense.
You want to hear him own it.
I just want to hear him say, listen, I understand why you guys are so easily triggered and because I've been there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
own it.
I was so triggered, I threw away $50 million when I could have easily just knocked on the door, renegotiated, and made $200 million.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, no, he hasn't specifically said it, but he has basically said he regrets it.
Just renegotiate.
I mean, it was
we acted like this doesn't happen every year in the NFL.
It was like, 14 years ago, though, man? Like, 2004 was a long time ago.
And this isn't direct acknowledgement, but he's done the thing in like talk shows and stuff where they're like, you know, I walked away with some money and I walked away, $10 million or whatever. Everybody goes, what's the difference between $10 million and $50 million? I'll tell you, the difference is a staggering $40 million.
Bro,
you hear him say in small pockets, I regret walking away, I shouldn't have walked away.
Yeah, he definitely does. You can tell he does.
But then he got his money back, which is the ultimate win. He got $50 million exactly. I think that was a very purposeful number.
Shit, I thought he got more than that. But I mean, look,
probably,
I want him to get everything.
50.
He's. We should all be watching this type of comedy. This is comedy at the highest level. You know, you're watching Jordan. You're watching Tom Brady in their fucking prime, and it's just unbelievable. All I'm saying is, I have values, and I stick to my values. It's the reason why people fuck with me is because I have these values. Keeping the same energy is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's the reason why we started out this podcast trashing Philadelphia for
fucking 20 minutes
because we keep the same energy.
Anybody but you, Tom. Anybody but you.
Yo, you know what you brought up? Greatness, actually? Two things to that, because I know I wanted to talk about this last week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You said nobody's genius is more genius than Floyd's.
Yeah.
Chappelle's comedy genius might be more genius than Floyd's. I've never seen a comedy mind like this in my life.
I don't know. I mean, those first run of Netflix specials, when I first saw it, I was like, it's good, but I think he slipped it. I think, you know, the years of difference, whatever.
Yep.
These last two was when I was like, is he this nice at comedy that he put out two mid specials before just so he could have a special about the special?
He put out 4 hours in 2 years.
Yeah,
fucking crazy that is.
I think he's that brilliant with it that he probably threw out the first two like it was a radio signal.
The first one was a masterpiece. Deep in the Heart of Texas, I didn't like as much. Yeah. The first one I thought was a fucking masterpiece.
Yeah, I loved it as well, and I think that there's been mixed reactions. Yeah. And I also think like we have a different opinion on comedy as comics because we're so fucking close to it.
Yeah,
like a lot of times movie buffs really like a movie that the rest of us are like,
that's true,
that shit's kind of whack because they pick up on maybe all the nuance and how hard it is to get that shot and get these, et cetera.
I feel like I see how the sausage is made and what he's doing and like I see it. I'm like, oh,
it's
fuck.
Like, it's why like basketball purists like go nuts over like Nikola Jokic from the Nuggets or whatever shit. It's why people fucking adore him because he's like, the nuances of being that big and that skilled or whatever, like they go over the fucking moon for him.
Yeah, but same with Tim Duncan, where we were like, is this, you know, we're early before I really knew the game. I wasn't that appreciative. Yeah, and then later on,
really Duncan, he's not really doing stuff that's going to make me, you know, buy a ticket to watch him play. But like basketball purists watch him and they're like, this is basketball at the highest level. Yeah. Watch this motherfucker.
Yeah, so here, the question is he better at his craft than Floyd is at his? I would say that Chappelle is the greatest speaker now, not comedian.
Yeah, I think you said this. I think you said this a couple of weeks ago, yeah.
I don't think anybody speaks publicly better than him, Obama included.
Mm.
And
Obama included?
Yeah, because
Obama included?
I would say Obama's not close. And it's one, because Dave's writing all his own shit. He don't got people helping. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, Obama can speak his ass off.
That's the Jay-Z discussion?
No, Obama can speak his ass off, but he got like six Jewish dudes in a bunker somewhere writing bars.
That's why nobody gives Drake the credit.
Facts.
like, well, we know Drake ain't writing this shit.
Yo, for real. It's part of it, right? But no, Obama's unbelievably gifted speaker as well. But I think Dave has, and it's shown by that, the second special that he put out in this, the Bird Revelation?
The Bird Revelation.
There's not that many laughs in it.
No. It felt like I was watching a TED Talk.
And it was fucking exhilarating.
Yeah, I felt like I was watching a TED Talk. I like that more than the third, what was the third one called?
Equanimity.
Yeah, it was great yucks. Like, I yucked it up for that one. But
he can do whatever
I'm sitting
he
here just like, you know, like locked in, like I'm like watching a master at work.
And
I'm just a fan of watching anybody who's great at something do
you
want to
watch greatness.
Yeah.
Is he better than, look, dude, I mean, I'm so high on Floyd. I think it'd be hard for anybody to beat him in terms of greatness, but I think he's in the discussion. I think if there's a Mount Rushmore of greatness, regardless of whatever your expertise is, I think you got to push Pell up there.
Right.
Okay. Got to put Floyd up there.
What is y'all Mount Rushmore of greatness?
Of greatness?
Of the best of what you do.
Okay. So you got to have, I mean, Einstein, right? Like Einstein has to be there, right?
Right.
Just in terms of pure thought.
Yes.
Like this guy is a literal genius.
Okay.
Right? Floyd, Dave, who invented the modern concept of like freedom and democracy? Like who instilled those values? Was that Jefferson, Hamilton? Like who really created Western ideology?
I would lean more towards Hamilton.
Hamilton?
But, not really sure.
Maybe. I mean, you could throw Gandhi in there. Like Mandela. Gandhi's, there's guys. It's hard to do four.
It's
right?
hard to do four.
What is yours, Akash?
I think I'm going to go Gandhi, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I think second is Malcolm.
But Gandhi's objectively there. It's not like you're saying that because you're in it. Like, I think objectively speaking.
Yeah, just insane. Insane with this guy.
Yeah, Akash. Okay.
I think I put Malcolm in there. You want to talk about keeping that same energy? And this is why I was always more of a Malcolm dude than a Martin dude. Now, I don't know the whole, apparently we didn't learn all of Martin in school. But from what I remember about Malcolm, once he made that transformation, that was it.
Yeah.
He's not he's done with fucking with white girls and all this stuff. I had so many friends who were like so pro-black and they would only fuck white girls.
Yeah.
Keep the same energy. Malcolm kept the same energy, dog, on everything. Faithful. Once he decided to live piously, he was pious.
Yes.
Changed everything. And he was in it and he was for his people. And that's incredible to me. And then if we're just going outside of like changing the world, it's Chappelle. And this is a good segue, I think, actually, because I want to talk about this last week, but I think it's Roger Federer.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Okay. We got to talk about it. I want to hear your... Okay. Then we'll get to Federer, but okay. I want to hear yours. And real quick, I just want to add one to mine. I think you have to put Muhammad up there.
Ali. Yeah.
Not Ali.
No, Muhammad.
Muhammad. The reason why everybody called Muhammad.
Okay, yeah. I thought you meant... Okay.
And I'll say him more than other religious leaders because he lived through his time of greatness.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Jesus tapped out before he could see what would happen with his ideology, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't limit his greatness, but clearly there are other people pushing this thing forward, God, whoever you want to say it is. But Muhammad was around for that. Like, he was the GOAT.
He saw the fruits of his labor.
He's like, nah, this is me. You know what I mean? Like, this is what's up. So there has to be... I think the largest religion in the world, right?
Yeah.
Fastest growing,
but I think it has the most people currently.
Muslim?
Maybe. If it did, I think it's recent. Because I remember it being the fastest growing, but not the biggest. Yeah. I remember Christianity, Catholicism, whatever you want to classify that as.
Right. Was there. Anyway, so I think it has to be put up there. Okay. Yours.
Mount Rushmore of greats. I'll put Michael Jordan there, but not as a basketball player, as a pitchman.
Mm.
I think he's the greatest seller of anything I've ever seen. Like, Michael Jordan could sell fucking... He was selling underwear at one point. Yeah. Like, he could sell you anything. Chappelle's in there for me.
Okay.
Man. I'm gonna go outside the box and say Vince McMahon.
Wow!
Vince McMahon is a brilliant... Like,
you love marketers.
Dog, it's the ability to manipulate the human emotion for them to give you money.
Yeah.
you know what I'm saying? Wow. Like, there is a genius level talent to that.
Cash just want to be entertained.
He's up there.
Yeah, that's true. I don't give a fuck.
I'm like... thought leaders. I'm like religious leaders.
Yeah. You know, if you were
Michael Jordan.
No. I'm not even saying it in a negative way. I'm saying in just like a marketer, a great entertainer that appeals to you. And that's dope.
I mean, shit, life's hard enough, man.
I'm just saying this. I'll say this, though. If you were white, you would love Trump. Because that motherfucker is entertaining objectively.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
He's objectively entertaining, and he's objectively...
He plays the heel.
If he wasn't... Thank you, bro. Like, if I was white... And not terrified.
He plays the heel.
Donald, like, if I'm watching a movie, if this wasn't real life, and this is like a Truman Show production of life, and Donald Trump's not really president, he's just playing the president on TV.
Yeah.
This wouldn't be the most funniest fucking show.
He'd be the greatest character on TV. In history, yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous the type of shit he does. And if he was white, he was doing that shit for me, too? I'm like, oh, psh. God's
actually,
great.
If he was a character, he'd be like, this is so fake. This is so over the
top. It's so unbelievable. It's not. And it's, you know, the president, whatever. Anyway, on top of that, what did I say? Jordan, McMahon, Chappelle, gosh.
I guess I don't understand McMahon's greatness.
I'm
ignorant to McMahon.
McMahon has became a billionaire selling a sport that isn't. Is Real. Predetermined.
It's genius.
Like, he's gotten a league. It's sports entertainment. He's openly calling it entertainment. It is scripted. It's on ESPN. It's covered on ESPN nightly. Like, it is a show that packs out arenas that their own home teams can't pack out. Every Monday, every Tuesday.
On a Monday.
It's unbelievable the time. Like, you can't even put it in words. Like, it's like he didn't invent pro wrestling, but it's like if fucking James Naismith was like, it's one thing to invent it, it's a whole other thing to monetize and perfect.
Yeah, he's Tony Hawk.
Yeah. And it's like you can't, you know, like There's no figurehead in sports.
Has he written a book about this?
I think they're doing a biopic on him, and I think Bradley Cooper is supposed to play him in a biopic.
Interesting.
Which should be tight.
Yeah.
Fuck Bradley Cooper. fuck that motherfucker. Fuck Silver Linings Playbook. Yes, fuck Jeff Lurie. Fuck whatever stupid ass hot bitch that was standing next to him. Stupid bitch. Fuck that bitch.
Nah, but yeah, like he's brilliant, man. He's a genius to me. And I don't know. I don't know who else I could probably pick.
I think you hit four or five.
I think I have four. I think that'll work.
I got to learn more about Vince outside of the sport and just in terms of marketing. But the way that you described it,
the fact
is really
that everything you've seen about him is a character.
Yeah.
And that's not him, like, when he conducts business, is genius in itself. Like, he's branded himself as...
He'd be a cool guest for Flagrant, too. Oh, we got to get Vince in.
Let's give him a shot.
He'd be a cool guest. Yes. Not amazing.
Not amazing. He'd be cool.
Yeah, all right. He'd be cool. All right.
It's not like we're getting Floyd.
We could. I think Floyd would do our show.
I can't wait till we have guests. Oh, did I tell you I bumped into Doc Rivers?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Yes, he did tell us about
this. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
And then we
got to
talk about Federer. But, so I bumped in. Okay, so I'm going to the. I was in LA for two things: to do my show for the Views for the Sis store, and then also to. I was in this Whitney Cummings movie called The Female Brain, also starring Blake Griffin, Dion Cole, Sofia Vergara, and a bunch of other people. Okay. So I go to the premiere, and it's at the ArcLight in LA's movie theater, and we do the whole red carpet, which is wildly uncomfortable.
Yeah, I can
hate
imagine.
The red carpet. Yeah. Damian Lemon has the best joke about. About taking photos. He goes, man, I need to join a gang so I have something to do with my hands and pictures. And that's what I love about this shit. I love about the assholes. We actually have someone to throw up in pics. It's fucking great. But so I got to take a picture next to Sofia Vergara. Oh my God.
Oh gosh.
And I didn't even think that she was that hot until that night. I appreciate her beauty, especially for her age.
You didn't think Sofia Vergara was hot?
I thought it was overrated, but then in real life, she's stunning for her age.
You never seen like young Sofia Vergara?
Yeah, I saw when she was dating like El Chapo.
Yeah.
She was dating another El Chapo, of the El Chapos, yeah.
I respect it.
So, but that's what you do in Colombia. You know what I mean? Like if you're hot enough, you date the drug lord.
Yeah, they got all the money.
God bless.
And protection.
So I do that and we go in. And then as of that, I see this, all of a sudden I see this kind of tall black dude with a weird, like peppered hairline.
Mm. Tell me, was Blake Griffin still in the Clippers at this time?
No.
Oh, he had already been traded.
He already been traded, but the trade actually made one of my lines in the movie 10 times better. Okay. Because we fight in the movie. We have like an argument and then like we wrestle.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, he says, I say something, I'll beat the shit out of you. And he goes, well, I'll be the one, with my legal team ready to take your ass to court or some shit like that. And I go, oh, your legal team? Yeah, it's the only team that wants you. And in the theater, this is fresh off the train.
Oh,
dude,
God, I probably know. Killed.
So it went in. So thank you for trading him.
Why we got to do two episodes a week is that happened as soon as we finished
recording the last episode.
Andrew got on his phone and goes, Blake Griffin just got traded.
I know.
And
dude,
we had nothing.
Yeah, anyway, so I'm there in the theater, in the arc light, and all of a sudden I see this guy, OJ, walking. You know how OJ's shitty ass walk that Chappelle did so well?
OJ was there?
No, but the walk. Oh,
I was about to say.
OJ's, the Chappelle did so well in the Burn Revelation special. Yeah. He walks like a penguin, like that kind of like waddle, know what I mean? Happy feeding it. And
so it's football.
And
legs,
I go,
man.
Oh, shit, Doc. I go, Doc? And he goes, hey. I go, oh, what's up, man? Like super casual, totally forgetting I've been trashing his son for the last 3 months every single Tuesday. He stops. He kind of wobbles over towards me. I walk gingerly towards him. We shake hands. Have a good one. I don't know if he was coming to see the movie. It might have just been random.
I mean, Blake is in the movie.
Blake's in the movie, so maybe he was coming to see the movie. Yeah, and because apparently he didn't trade Blake.
Mm.
He didn't know. He found out about that day.
Really?
So it came from up top. So he didn't want Blake to be traded. And I found this out from like good little inside information. So, because that's what I thought. I was like, oh, that's going to be awkward as well.
I was about to say, was he going to press you about, hey, man, you need to love my son real quick?
No, bro. Like he did. I don't know. I think in LA, I've realized that if you act like someone's supposed to know you, they will act like they know you.
Yeah, because you meet too many people and you might piss off the wrong guy. Yeah. So
and if
that's
you're
how you
confident, if you're just confident and you smile and you're not thirsty, you're like, hey, and you just say like that, like, hey, Ted,
Any guy in LA that's famous or a girl. Hey, Ted, how
Matty
you doing?
Matty boy. Just shake Matt Damon's hand.
I swear to God, if it's in LA, anywhere else it gets weird. But in LA, you can have that energy and they'll fall right into it. They'll walk, how you been? You been good? Everything's good? Wife's good? You can
do
that
whole shit. Affleck, how you doing, buddy?
Benny boy.
You know, I pulled that with Rihanna one time.
Really?
Swear to God.
What happened?
We was in M2. Rest in peace to M2, the club on 27th Street or something like that. Yeah. This was on Fashion Week.
Okay.
And I was in a section with my boss and a couple of other people. And Rihanna walks in with it's already dark in there.
Right.
She and she has sunglasses on, right? And she gets like as close as Akash is to me. You know what I mean? And, like, and I was here first. So like she walked into my space.
World, yeah.
So I'm just like, I'd be an asshole if I don't acknowledge that Rihanna's here.
Facts.
So I tap on the shoulder. I'm like, hey. And then she grabs me by the arm and pulls back a little bit and it goes, hey, how you been? How's the family? And she gives me a big hug, kisses me on the cheek and shit. It's like, yeah, your family's good. Everybody's good. How's the little one? Yada, yada. I'm like, oh, yeah, the little one's fine. I'm like lying and shit. Just
that's great.
Moral of the story. Even black people think all black people look alike. White people are listening now, no longer feel guilty.
I'm not going to lie. For a couple months, like a couple months passed by, and this is like before I had like lots of hair and shit, I used to really resemble Virgil with like my haircut.
Oh, the sneaker guy. Yeah.
So when she was asking me that stuff, I'm like, she probably thinks I'm Virgil right now.
Play so, that shit.
Oops, what? Are you kidding me, bro? Yeah. Yo, listen. To this day, I still remember exactly how she smelled. And like as she walked away, like I had, mind you, I was like super young back then. I might have been like my second year working at the source. My boss looks at me and he goes, "Who the fuck are you, dude?" And I was like,
the legend of Kaz has been created.
And I was just like, I rode that Rihanna wave for like a good week.
God bless. God bless. Fantastic.
But yeah, no, you absolutely got to act like you know celebrities sometimes and just be comfortable and not be pressed.
Anyway, Doc, if you do listen to this or are listening to this and you felt I didn't keep the same energy, I totally forgot that I was trashing your son when I met you. And I asked Charlamagne, I was like, what do you do when you meet these people that you've trashed?
Mm-hmm.
Because it must happen, you know?
All the time for him, right?
For him. And it will happen for us as we continue to actually invite some guests on this show. We're so self-indulgent, we haven't been doing it, but we will.
We will.
And, but like, what do you do? And he goes, he goes, honestly, like, there'll be people who walk up to me and try to shake my hand. And he'll be like, and he'll say, I can't shake your hand, man. I've talked too much shit about you. And they respect that.
It's a good move.
And they respect that. Yeah, because you look like a bitch yoking it up and chopping it up with somebody that you've been talking serious shit about, you know, the whole time. But I think what's healthy about seeing people, and so many of these people don't, but what I would love about Flagrant 2 is if we actually get to meet some of these athletes, and when we get to meet these athletes, is it holds you accountable for what you say.
Got to. Yeah.
Because if you're never seeing them, you never have to own up to
shit. Yeah, I think you also need to remember that they're people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, this is a human being.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think you forget that. When I was a kid hating Kobe Bryant, I forgot, oh, this is a dude with a mortgage
somebody's brother
and kids.
So, I mean, but that being said,
fuck Philly.
Fuck Philly.
Yes! My dude!
Right on fucking cue, dog.
We said these are humans.
Die, Eagles, die.
Yo, I think you got to talk more shit about Austin Rivers. He's been stinking it up again lately.
Yo, I know. He needs our motivation.
Yeah, he definitely does.
We're like going to come back.
Those couple of weeks, we were really shitting on him, and everyone was in his mentions. Like, he started averaging, like, 25 a game.
And killing it. And all of a sudden, we took the foot off the brake. What happens? Lou Williams starts dropping 40 a game, and he's not doing shit.
And now you're not doing shit. So, Austin Rivers.
We got you, fam.
We got you, bro.
We'll come back. We'll put the foot on your neck.
Lots of shit talk coming your way, bro.
All right. So, this is last week, before I went to L.A.
Yeah.
Wild night. Had a little wild night. Akash held me down. Nice. Yeah, I can't really go into details about it. But pause. Yeah.
I was about to say, whoa.
It wasn't on some brokeback shit, dog. But Akash was a great friend, and I appreciate you very much for that.
Thank of course.
You so much. And basically, I'm a psychopath, so I'm able to like compartmentalize like a really horrible thing, put that away, and be like, hey, let's talk about sports. And then we got into this really interesting discussion where Akash, who's a tennis fan, and even if you're not a tennis fan, I'm not a tennis fan, well, don't worry, we'll make this interesting, makes the argument that Roger Federer, who had just won another major,
yeah, since 20th.
Which was 20th. It might be the greatest athlete ever over Floyd and Jordan. And I'll let you make the argument, but you'll put all the shit into context did. And explain it like you did explain to me, because I didn't know enough about tennis.
Well, yeah, I'll do my best. I was also trying to distract you from some horrible shit, so I was really locked in. But basically, so they have four, just like golf, you got four Grand Slams a year, four majors a year.
Yeah.
Roger Federer, before him, the men's record was 14, Pete Sampras, who set it in like 2001. Roger Federer went pro in like 2002, 2003, and then immediately destroyed that record. He now has 20, which is a massive gap.
That's so four majors a year.
Four majors a year.
Just like in golf. So he has 20.
So he's six ahead of Pete Sampras, which is a massive gap. Again, think if Tom Brady had seven or eight Super Bowls as opposed to everybody else's four.
Right.
That's what we're talking about. And it's a completely individual game.
Yeah, I always give more props to, you know, individual sports. Like, team sports is great and all, but like I always feel like there's nobody else but you
out
there.
It's an easier metric to measure greatness, right? Yeah. Because you're going against the person.
And here's what's crazier.
This is where it gets wild.
The second place guy now is Rafael Nadal, who has 16 Grand Slams.
Mm-hmm.
So Roger Federer didn't just destroy Pete Sampras' record. He also held off the number two greatest tennis player of all time while he was the greatest tennis player of all time.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, the prime of his career lines up with the prime of the second greatest tennis player's career.
So the argument with Bill Russell is that, you know, he played a time in the NBA where, like, there were, like, four black dudes.
Yeah. So it was him, like, Wilt Chamberlain, and a bunch of, like, construction workers.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a guy who works at a Jewish deli over on 57th Street.
Let's finish the game up. I gotta go and
build this. I gotta make pastrami sandwiches. I'm a little tired. Yeah. So, but the argument with Federer is he played against the second greatest player in the history of the sport during his prime, and he was still able to excel.
And there's another guy, Novak Djokovic, who's probably going to be top five of all time in Grand Slams.
He's also played, because Djokovic has 11.
Yeah, and Djokovic has 11. And Djokovic is younger than Federer by maybe a decade. I don't know the exact, but measurably younger.
Yeah.
He always looked at Djokovic like a pup, and then this guy's great. He performed in the most top-heavy time in history and destroyed the record. So a lot of people say Serena's better than Federer is, but Serena has one more Grand Slam than Steffi Graf.
This is a great thing that we need to acknowledge.
She has 22, Serena has 23.
I thought Serena is the best female tennis player in history because she had 15 times more Grand Slams than every other girl, this, that, the other.
And she is the greatest women's tennis player ever.
Barely the best.
Yes. She beat the record by one, and she could keep going after she has her kid and come back and get more.
But we speak about Serena like we should be speaking about Roger.
Yes, true.
And that is the reality. Now, of course, we're speaking about Serena because she's unique. She's different.
I was
about
to say, that's the reason why I think we all talk about Serena like
that. Sure, Roger Federer looks like every other white guy ever born.
Every other tennis player, yeah.
No, every white guy.
he's nothing. There's nothing remarkable about this guy.
Nothing at all.
And when we talk about genius.
If you go to any bar on 2nd Avenue between 57th Street and like 73rd Street.
Oh, yeah.
On a Thursday night happy hour, you'll see Roger Federer 17 times.
Wearing a suit.
With a blue button down, with the top button unbuttoned, right? Some
hitting on a
dress
girl
shoes.
Horribly.
Yeah, exactly.
Got a little headband in his hair, a little bra strap.
Oh, for sure.
So he's saying something. Yeah, I just started JP Morgan. It's hard, but I think it's worth it and will pay off.
And I'm telling you, I've never seen anyone. I'm not like a tennis expert. I just follow it.
Yeah.
But when I watch him, I've never seen anyone make anything look easier than he makes tennis look. Like, you watch Brady.
You should see me come fast. I'd be doing that shit like a Federer backhand.
Yeah, but I bet it looks like you're putting in work.
True. Oh,
ridiculous.
Federer, it looks like he makes tennis look so fucking easy.
Yeah.
Like, if you've ever played tennis, it's hard.
Yeah.
This guy is the greatest ever.
Yeah.
No weaknesses in his game. No overpowering strengths. Just extreme precision. Good at everything.
Sounds like Mayweather.
Built like a fucking string bean. No real muscle mass. Yeah, sounds like... Well, Mayweather's defense is the best ever.
Right.
Yeah. Federer's not known for... He doesn't have the best serve ever.
Right.
The best backhand. Best foot. He's just the greatest
He's
ever.
He's Yoshi in Mario Kart.
I mean,
good at everything. Yeah.
I mean, we draw ourselves to Serena more because... she's kind of like Tiger Woods in a sense, where like there was like there's a power to her game. Where and you know,
blackness
you think of tennis,
to her game.
Yeah, there's a blackness to it. That too. Yeah, yeah. But I mean,
she
like,
brought
no,
a
she,
whole new demographic to the sport that didn't Tiger. Exist there. As did Tiger, right?
But, like, and on top of that, like just the way she played. I don't know what shit's said about tennis.
Yeah,
but I know she has one of the most powerful serves. Ever seen. Yeah. Like, and she's just a tank. Period.
She's
like,
and her will to marvel. Win. Her will to win is exceptional, and she's arguably playing against much better competition than Steffi was.
Yeah.
I think we could say, like, as women have become more and more equal, there have been much more opportunity for them in sports.
Mm. Okay, right? That's fair.
Like, there's a reason why the countries that have female equality do better in sports when you go to the Olympics or World Cup right. or that kind of shit like that. You know, like the U.S. or Japan always wins
the
female
opportunity.
World Cup because they have the opportunity to play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The other women are baking.
They just send people out there.
Exactly. Yeah. Will you take that kid's mouth off your titty and go kick a fucking goal, please? Thanks.
But Roger Federer.
Soccer team. Yeah. Send.
We should talk about that. I mean, if he was American even, we would talk about this more. Or if he was black American dominating tennis like this, it would be... I mean, it's unbelievable what he's doing. And to still win. And also, greatness, we're going to kind of have to recalibrate because careers are lasting so much longer now.
Good point.
So the winning is going to be so much more. But as it stands right now, I don't think there's an athlete as dominant ever or as great ever.
I mean, look
as him.
At how popular Andy Roddick got.
Yeah.
And you know,
I thought Andy Roddick
won,
was
and you know why he only won one Grand Slam? Because he couldn't fucking beat Federer. Even Roddick at his peak, after he won one, he kind of came back, was like a physical fitness freak, trained, was married to Brooklyn Decker, had his life in order, not chasing hoes.
Yeah.
He played the best he's ever played, went to the Wimbledon final, an epic match, lost to Roger Federer. Like an insane fifth set. But he lost. He could not beat Federer.
If he was American.
Also, Federer speaks like six languages. He's a fucking brilliant guy. he's perfect.
Yeah.
So what is it? It's just Switzerland nobody cares about?
It's Switzerland and it's tennis and he's white and meh. Yeah. There's nothing sexy about it.
This is what you get for smuggling all the Nazi money. Pieces of shit.
All the frozen banks and shit.
That's all they do.
Oh, shit. What, you good?
Yeah, everything. I mean... That was my knee-jerk reaction. Yeah, everything's fine.
That's my go-to phrase when my life's falling apart.
Oh,
I'm like, everything's
my
fine.
God.
All right, dude.
Yeah,
I don't know anybody
fine.
That compartmentalizes like this dude. I've seen this man's life falling apart, and we're just talking about Doc Rivers.
Bro, yeah. I get it from my dad.
Oh, yeah, your dad's the funniest motherfucker on earth, man.
Oh, man. I gotta meet Mr. Schultz one day, man.
I'm going to bring him on. Yeah. I mean,
we should definitely have a parents episode one day.
Oh, dude, absolutely. And my dad has got really great sports stories, especially. You know, he would go to Ali's camp all the time.
Well, is he coming Wednesday?
Maybe. I don't know. That'd be cool to have him up there. Yeah. He doesn't remember shit. You know what I mean? So it's tough. But I think
parents,
he remembers those stories, though. We only need to hear them once.
Exactly. He remembers all the old stuff. Mm-hmm. It's hard for him to make new memories.
Gotcha. Okay.
But, But he's just got like these great stories. I mean, like, you know, shadow boxing with Muhammad Ali. Like he has video, there's video footage of like him doing
doesn't
it.
Doesn't get any better than that.
Oh, dude. And Ali telling him he was going to knock out Foreman.
Ugh.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just the coolest fucking thing. So it'd be great to have him on and just hear him, you know, talk about that kind of shit.
That's tight, man.
Yeah.
It's fucking tight.
We'll have a parent ep.
One day.
Yeah.
Shout out to everybody coming Wednesday to Highland Ballroom. You get to meet my mom. My mom will be there.
Oh, Mom Dukes Road.
Yeah, Mom's coming. Yeah.
Mrs. Famuyide?
Yes.
Famuyide.
She's Mrs. Coker, by the way, but it's whatever.
What do you mean?
We're black.
She married American?
No. That's her maiden name. She never married.
Oh. Yeah.
Wait, your dad and mom never married?
No. But they were together.
I'm confused. They're from Africa.
They're from Nigeria, yes.
They're from Nigeria. And, okay, so...
They had me.
They had
here.
You. Here.
Yeah.
Then what happened?
Then they split when I was like six.
Oh, I thought that they were together this whole time.
No.
Yeah, me too.
No.
Yeah, I thought this is an African thing. They don't believe in divorce over there.
No.
I thought...
Well, you have to get married to get divorced. And they never got married.
I mean,
so they just had a kid outside of wedlock.
So
two.
When your parents...
They had two kids. This is the least African thing I know about you, Kazim. What is going on here?
This is why I'm so homogenized, man.
Jesus. I didn't know that they were allowed to, you know, split up. And
yeah, no. Nah,
I thought the only thing in Africa they split were girls' clitorises.
Ah! fuck.
Oh. And we back.
And we're back at it.
Fuck Philly.
You little piece of shit.
Oh, shit. The Cavs still suck. We talk about that. The fuck is going on in Cleveland, bro? Like,
oh, bro. Fuck.
All right, so the wheels, are we doing the same thing we do every year and just...
Which is, this is worse than ever, though.
It is way worse than ever. It is way worse than ever. But we do this every year.
Well, we're getting like the worried
Cavs,
about them.
The Cavs go into their slump and we're like, oh man, is this the year that they fall apart and yada, yada, yada. And then they always just end up in the finals every year like they always do. Are we falling into that same sense of security?
We might be. And I think on one day we have to come back and address Serena's greatness.
Yes, we shall.
I think because
that's an interesting argument. I didn't know Steffi Graf was that good. That's
Steffi Graf was a beast.
But that's Andre Agassi's shorty, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's greater than him at tennis.
Arguably, like within her gender.
Not even arguably. No, yeah, she was definitely better.
Against Agassi, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Agassi would kick her ass if they played. Of course, but, yeah.
Okay, so the Cavs. But I think it's an interesting thing to objectively argue. And I understand these things are hard to objectively argue because the second you say Serena might not be as great as we're presenting her, people are like, oh, you're just saying that because you're racist or some shit like that. No, no, no. We're looking at empirical evidence.
She is the greatest. It's just how much of the greatest is she?
She's one greater than whatever. Okay, good. Like, for example, if Kobe got 6 rings.
Well, Serena also Jordan didn't took a couple years off and just like... Then just came back and started dominating.
And just beasting.
I thought she was too old when she came back, and then she won like 10 plus things, whatever the fuck it was.
No, she's incredible. Okay. So, Cavs. Kaz, what do you think happens? Maybe this, I mean, obviously there's the Kevin Love injury. Kevin Love's body.
That was the most perfectly timed injury of all time, by the way.
Oh, he's so happy. I'm surprised he didn't do that himself and then pick a time.
I'm pretty sure he might have did.
Dude, his hands are made out of Derrick Rose's knees. Dude, this guy is so breakable.
That's so good.
Did you see how he broke his hand?
His hands are made out of Derrick Rose's knees. That's great.
But did you watch the clip of him breaking it?
Nah, I don't watch Cavs highlights. Nah.
Dude, I'm watching...
Cavs are hard to watch.
Literally. Entry pass. Kind of fights for the ball. Brings it down. All of a sudden he's holding his hand. I can't even find the moment in
he's
which...
He's faking it. He's faking it.
Low key.
He's faking it.
I would not be surprised if he broke it prior.
He's faking it. Yeah.
And then waited for a time in the game.
Probably a little agitation to it. And it was like, you know what? Maybe
I
should take
it. You want a 7-week injury though?
I mean, you're not...
Three, four weeks off, bruh.
I think it's probably one of those... I'm not saying he broke it on purpose,
but he might have been drunk, punched some shit, and then he's like, oh, fuck, I don't want to be that guy who's...
Right.
I don't think it's that. Like, I mean, like, even... I don't think it's something he did on purpose or whatever, but I do think, you know, it's one of those injuries where, like, everyone plays sort of hurt. Everyone plays with something.
Oh, you think he could play with the...
I think if this was April or May... He'd find a way to play through it.
Interesting.
I think he'd find a way to play through it. I think that they're going through the doldrums right now. Fucking report came out when, you know, I guess he was hurt and they were like, we think Kevin Love's not really committed, yada, yada, yada. Coming from Isaiah Thomas, who's been in Cleveland for like 5 fucking seconds. And, you know, you're just like, yeah, fuck that.
So what do you think happens?
You deal with it. To Cleveland? I think that... I really like the Celtics team, man. I really like the Celtics team. And what makes it different from the past years as far as like Eastern Conference challengers is that it's one, of course everyone wants to beat LeBron. Of course everybody wants to, you know, go to the finals and play as hard as possible. But I don't think LeBron's ever had a rivalry or an adversary as personal as a Kyrie-led Celtics team. Like, this motherfucker really, truly believes in his heart. We said this probably like in the first episode of Flagrant 2. Like, Kyrie truly believes in his heart of hearts. He is every bit that dude LeBron thinks he is.
Now, in the last 2 games, Rozier.
He's been balling.
Has been balling his ass off.
Yeah.
Triple dub. Then he put up 20 and something in 10, or maybe even more than that, 10, shooting out of his mind percentage-wise. Isaiah, when he was on the team,
He was awesome.
Awesome.
MVP candidate.
Is it possible that Brad Stevens is a point guard guru?
Yes.
And if you place in, not anybody, but capable scorers in that position.
He's an everything guru. Jay Crowder sucks on the pass. Avery Bradley not doing much in
Kelly
Detroit.
Olynyk.
All these guys. It's he's a great fucking coach, man.
Brad Stevens is really good at accentuating your positives and hiding your negatives. All the shit that you can't do, he will find somebody to cover for it and will just let you do the shit you're good at. That's why Kyrie's been cooking. That's why Rozier cooked. That's why Isaiah Thomas did what he did. Isaiah Thomas is a volume scorer. He needs the ball. He's going to get buckets. He can't guard a soul. And it didn't matter up until he ran up against, like, Mega LeBron on his way to the finals. And he was hurt, broke his hip or whatever the fuck. But it's insane.
He's an everything guru.
Yeah, he's the, gosh, like, he's got to be
so
a top three
coach
right
now. You really
right now.
Think Brad is the truth?
I don't know about the playoffs. I mean, playoffs, he hasn't. That's he's also run up against LeBron, sucked. But yeah, the Wizards,
they almost,
struggled.
They
yeah.
almost got swept by the Bulls if it wasn't for Rondo getting it.
Even before the NBA, Brad Stevens was like a basketball like savant, dog. Like he took bum ass Butler a half court heave away from beating Duke in the NCAA tournament for the national championship. You know what I mean? And this one, he was like, what, 30? 31 years old? He's young as fuck. You know what I mean? And now he's got all these years in the NBA.
Don't you hate that?
He had no fucking He had no like trial period where he was like, he was kind of at like Billy Donovan, where he's kind of like, okay,
working shit out. Working he went right to success.
He had one okay season, another okay season, and then it was just elite.
The older I get, the more I hate young, successful people.
Like Sean McVay.
Fuck Sean McVay. Kim Jong-un is 34. I haven't led a country. I haven't done shit. You know what I mean? I got a podcast with a pretty dope slogan that we do with our fingers through your assholes. I'll keep it tight. You know what I mean? But
Jesus Christ. How the fuck?
Brad Stevens is how old? He's a little older than us. He's under 40. He's not 40.
He might just turned 40.
All right.
I'm gonna get the exact age for this man.
Kosh, what do you think? What do you think happens with the Cavs?
First of all, when you said half court heave, I just thought about Tom Brady's Hail Mary for 40 seconds, and I was like, God, fuck! If he had, I really thought he might pull that off.
He shook the defender.
It's bobbled for a little bit.
When he shook the defender, I started getting Eli flashbacks.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo,
yeah.
Come on, Gronk, do this.
Yeah.
I was like, he does this shit all the fucking time. Yeah. Like, he's gonna do it again. He's gonna do it again.
Fuck! It would have made me so fucking happy.
And then,
this really makes me question not God's existence, but why he would do such a thing. You know what I mean? Like, this has been a year of evil. You know what I mean? The fucking Warriors with Kevin Durant won the finals. Nick Saban got another college national championship. And now the fucking Eagles. The fucking Eagles got a goddamn championship and celebrated by eating horse shit.
By eating horse shit.
God's ending
horses.
It all, man. He's bringing the robots.
Yeah.
He's done with
send
us.
Send the aliens, send the meteors.
All right.
All that shit. It's coming, bro.
I think the Cavs, you know what's weird is I kind of felt like I did with the Eagles yesterday, where I had a feeling, I was like, I have a feeling these guys are going to do it, but you can't bet against Belichick and LeBron. But I had a crazy feeling. Now, there's much more evidence for the Celtics winning than there is the Eagles. I was literally basing it off of Tom Brady looking a little cocky, and then the Eagles coming out to dreams and nightmares. I was like, they just seem to want it more. But the Celtics, I have this
bad
feeling.
Bad choice, guys.
I have a feeling they could do it, but I just can't bet against LeBron.
Okay, that's fair.
It's hard to bet against LeBron.
Yeah.
Because
you know that LeBron has another switch. He's got another gear.
He has another switch.
But we don't know if the team does.
The team.
But he is capable of getting you out of the Eastern Conference alone.
Yeah.
That's how great he is.
Yeah.
He can play 47 minutes a game and he can get you out of the Eastern Conference alone.
But how many times are you going to ask this man to do the
impossible?
So
what would you do?
One more time. And then hopefully he goes to San Antonio.
What I would do is I would put IT on the bench and just have him come off and be the microwave.
Yeah.
You want, because, and I also think IT would be happier. All IT wants to do is go nut. Mm-hmm. He's the guy at the gym that nobody wants to play with, but you respect him. He could get
buckets.
He does get buckets. He's yelling at everybody else when they shoot and he doesn't. Mm. He's the worst person to have on your team. I love watching him play. He's my favorite player to watch play. But as far as a teammate, you don't want him to be your teammate, but he gets fucking buckets.
Allegedly, there was some news coming out. There was some news that came out that said apparently some of his Celtics teammates didn't even really like him that much.
Maybe it was last week. He's been liked. They hated him. Celtics teammates didn't like him. Phoenix teammate didn't like him. Sac teammate didn't like him. He's not somebody people like playing with. You got to give him the ball and let him go nut.
Mm-hmm.
Let him play 20, 25 minutes a game. Give LeBron a little bit of rest and just say, go out there and just hoist.
So who starts? Jose Calderon or?
I think that's why they were really heartbroken. I think that's why they really wanted Rose.
Yeah, they needed somebody.
Rose starts. He comes off the bench. Cooks gets out.
I was trying to tell people, like, last year, Derrick Rose wasn't that bad for the Knicks last year.
It was great.
Like,
he
averaged, like, 18 a game and shit. Like, the Knicks just fucking sucked. And I was like...
I remember you predicted an all-star berth for Derrick.
Yeah, I was like, he's going to be... I'm like, he's going to help that team out a lot. Like, I don't know what's going on with him mentally, whatever, but, like... Man, like, just the way that team is currently constructed.
Yeah. Ty Lue is a trash coach. I think that's another thing that we need to... Like, and he's always been a trash coach.
Yeah.
You can tell someone's a trash coach by how well the team plays without LeBron. They didn't win a single game without LeBron last year. In the playoffs, when LeBron went to the bench, they immediately just gave up 10 fucking points in a row, 15 points in a row, multiple times.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, LeBron is a big gap to fill.
Yeah.
But a great coach will find ways to minimize the damage.
I think right now we're living in the era of the NBA where you can't just talent your way out of being outcoached. You know what I'm saying? Like, every elite NBA team right now has an elite coach except the Cavs. You know what I mean? Like, Warriors got Steve Kerr, but they're the Warriors. They have fucking...
Spurs got Pop.
Everybody. Again, Spurs got Pop.
Celtics got
Rockets
Brad.
Got D'Antoni. Brad Celtics D'Antoni, got Brad Stevens. Nobody the Knicks gives have Hornacek.
Nobody gives up.
I'm fucking with you. I went almost the whole episode without no Knicks talk.
Dwayne Casey.
Dwayne Casey's a good coach.
It's very interesting good that coach. He never gets credit because they've consistently been in the top three for what? 5 years? The Raptors?
I mean, we also don't give it up to the Raptors.
Of course
on this
we don't.
Podcast.
Of course we don't. But I think he deserves some respect.
Mm-hmm.
My man consistently performs.
Yeah, he's a good coach.
He's been on the level of the Spurs.
Yeah.
Think about it. They are the Spurs of the Eastern Conference.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. Of the Eastern Conference.
Of the Eastern.
Yeah.
It's a different level, but don't get me wrong. He's consistently there.
They're always in the mix. Yeah.
You got to give some credit to where credit's due.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
He's a good coach, man. I gotta give him that. They got talent, but
you know what's crazy?
He makes it work.
If they let him go, he wouldn't get another head job.
No, because he doesn't have a sexy name. Like, he's not a name where, like, if he gets released, everyone's
Toronto's
like...
Toronto's not a sexy team.
It's true. Yeah. But isn't that crazy? Like, think about it. This guy is one of the winningest coaches in basketball over the last... How long has he been coaching? 5 years?
Yeah. Probably longer than that.
Maybe a little longer?
I think he was... Was he at Minnesota before then or something? He was somewhere before.
He was...
I forget.
Yeah, I do know this. It will come to me. No. It will come to me. It will come to me. He was an assistant under... whatever. We'll get it.
Mm-hmm.
But was he with Pop in them?
He was with the Mavs.
He was with the Mavs. That's Mavs, it. Yeah, yeah. He was with the Mavs. Yeah. But I'm saying he's one of the winningest coaches in basketball over the last 5 years, and I doubt if he left the Raptors after the season, he would get a single head coaching opportunity.
Apparently, there were rumors he might be on the hot seat last year.
Every year, there's rumors he's on the hot seat
because he doesn't.
It's because Nigerians don't play around, bro. Masai Ujiri don't play games, bro.
It's like good isn't good enough, man. Like, don't you got to put me over the edge.
There's a reason why y'all are doctors. Yeah. And it ain't because you go out in the Eastern Conference Finals.
They don't take A-minuses.
Exactly.
A-minus is still a fucking failing grade in the Nigerian household.
Facts.
But, man, like, with Ty Lue, like, he's just not an elite coach. Like, even, you know who doesn't? Fucking Spoelstra. And the coach, the Heat are right in the mix right now. I think they're, third or fourth in the East or something?
Beast.
I can't even tell you their fucking starting lineup.
Beast.
I don't know. But, man, it's hard. Like, it's hard to just win on talent right now in the NBA. Like, you either have to have an elite coach or an elite scheme. Like, just assembling a bunch of talent is not good enough anymore.
So, if you're the Cavs, do you move the Brooklyn pick?
I don't know. And here's the thing with the Cavs.
You can move the Brooklyn pick. There is no trade out there that still puts you over the Warriors. There's not. I don't even think there's a trade out there that puts you over the Rockets.
You know? I think Anthony Davis would do it. That's about it.
But in the middle of the season,
Anthony Davis
and,
can't play a whole season.
And
Anthony,
that too?
He plays 40 games a season.
Ugh.
I think him and LeBron would just shift the floor so much, I think.
I agree, but
I don't think New Orleans would trade him.
At this point, you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to, you know. I think
New
Orleans...
You know who changes that team? Kristaps Porzingis. Dead ass.
He's a better Kevin Love?
He's a better Kevin Love.
But he doesn't rebound as well. He has a rebound as well as
Kevin
Love.
Doesn't rebound as well, but defensively...
Yeah, he cleans the glass. Yeah,
that
yeah.
glass is protected.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You ain't going at Kristaps unless you're Jaylen Brown.
If you're...
that motherfucker got yammed on.
Do you trade Kristaps for the Brooklyn pick?
Stop talking about that.
you know what I would actually do if I was Cleveland? I said this to you, Andrew.
Cut that from the episode. I don't even want to put that energy out there, Alex. Cut that shit.
So upset that Kristaps got drafted, and now I'll listen to you.
I mean, hey, man.
I will stand by, Mike. I will keep the same energy about that. I don't believe in Europeans.
My dumb ass.
In general.
I was crying over Emmanuel Mudiay that night. I'll never forget it.
Oh, you wanted Mudiay?
I was like, we should have got a Mudiay, man. A point guard. We need a point guard to get Melo a run.
Yeah, we always need a fucking point guard. Forget it. No,
you guys don't know shit. You know what I would do?
It's true.
Knicks fans, not you two.
But come on, you're going to be happy. Well, I guess you're a Mavs fan, so you believe in the Euros. But what reason do we have to believe in some fucking Lithuanian?
But they're not all the same Euro.
They're all the same.
We still have PTSD for Frederick Weiss, man. Like, we
the Mavs drafted a Euro. I guess we had one Dirk. Vince Carter put his testicles on his forehead. Okay?
And was banished.
On the Olympic stage. And the guy's confidence was so removed, he didn't even try to play in America. How crazy is that?
I've never even seen him in a Knicks.
It's the nastiest dunk in a game I've
ever history.
Seen.
Pathetic. We got to interview him.
Okay, here's what I'm saying, though. If I'm the Cavs, you know what I would try to do? I would try to trade a first-round pick to Brooklyn for Damari Carroll because he's good. He's the type of player you need, can play defense, plays the wings, can hit the three, and he's going to make Brooklyn worse. Him leaving is going to make Brooklyn worse, and your Brooklyn pick gets better.
That's a great I remember you texting me or you were telling me that.
Yeah.
The idea that, like, if you're playing for next year, you should strategize to get the best pick you can by making Brooklyn bad. So you essentially take assets to help
Spencer
them tank.
Dinwiddie and like,
yeah, exactly, and a first round pick is a big deal Russell, now. People aren't giving those up, so you could get something.
Yeah,
I think Damari Carroll would help you. He's a wing defender. That's what you need.
And it's another deep draft, man. Like, it's another deep draft, and a lot of times allegedly might be better than this year's draft. You know what I'm saying? So
Trey Young is a true.
Trey Young is the most.
That's what I'm saying. If you can get Trey Young.
Pro, college, high school, he's the most fun dude to watch play ball right now.
If I'm LeBron and you get Trey Young, I might not leave.
That's what I'm saying. And that's why they're holding on to the pick, because LeBron's like, dog, I don't know what this team's going to look like in a couple months.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's what I would do.
Why would I commit?
LeBron's give up a first.
LeBron going to Houston.
Houston? That might be weird.
I think LeBron
going to Houston.
I don't like it.
I don't know. I think LeBron might retire.
Go to the Spurs.
Retire?
Yeah. I think he might Barry Sanders it.
Nah.
I think so. Though he's just so aloof right now, bro.
You had the Spurs theory 3 weeks ago.
I did have the Spurs theory, but I'm like, as the more I think about it, I'm just like, I don't see him leaving again.
Yeah.
And as bad as these Cavs are, I don't see him staying either.
I see him leaving again. I hope he stays, but I see him leaving again. Also, the Cavs are just top to bottom a terribly run organization.
Yeah, and you can see him kind of like preparing like the Cleveland faithful for him to leave, because literally anytime, it had nothing to do with him. Like anytime, like some team like trades like a star player, it's like see if it's loyalty, what is it doing to other teams, whatever. Like LeBron is always the first person to stick up go hard. Like see when teams do it, they call it not being loyal, but when players do it,
as him being bitter about the decision.
No, but he's done it so many times.
He's preparing Cleveland for it. He's like, when a player leaves, he's looked at as not loyal, and when a team trades a player, it's looked at as business.
Yeah.
He is preparing Cleveland right now for the inevitability of leaving. Yeah, his home is about to be on the market. This shit is, and if he was smart, he'd sell it now because housing prices are going to plummet in Cleveland once he leaves.
Oh, yeah.
What's the purpose of going to Cleveland?
Facts. That money is going down.
That draft pick.
How do you deal with? Oh, dude, that's interesting. I wonder how he deals with the
like, I wonder how he deals with the guilt of knowing that multiple businesses are going to close.
I honestly think that's probably one of the only things keeping him.
Like, think about that. That area around Cleveland Games will experience an economic depression that it hasn't experienced since the last time he left.
Last time he left, yeah.
Like, we're going to talk about, like, mothers and fathers.
Losing jobs.
Kids having to move schools because their parents can't afford. Now, it's not his responsibility. It's not his responsibility. And the only reason they have those jobs is because he's there and he's providing, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe he can justify it that way. But there is a part of you that must think, if I stay, all these people in this community will be able to eat. And if I leave, some of them ain't going to be able to.
That's Survivor's Remorse, man.
It's some Survivor's Remorse.
You know, that's a show he produced.
That's the name of his shit.
He's getting us all ready for this shit. Golly.
It's like, bro, I mean, like, honestly, that's what he's had to probably dealt with his whole life. You know what I mean? Like, he's been the cash cow since he was 15.
And he's not the guy who leaves. He brought his whole crew with him.
Yeah, facts.
And they helped make him billionaires.
And like, they're all businessmen in their own right. Like, they're all successful people in their own right now. So it's like, as long as they're good, as long as his family's good, like, he probably doesn't give a shit. They're probably like, you know what? Felt like leaving.
But it's still tough to be like, I've saved enough lives. Yeah. Let these other ones crumble. And it's still tough.
That's that Romney shit.
Man.
Like, you know Romney?
Mitt Romney?
Yeah.
What about it?
Like, I always wondered how he justified it. Like, him being this very pious, religious person. And being this ruthless businessman, because what he does essentially for a business is his company will buy Bain Capital or whatever, will buy one of these struggling businesses. They'll fire a bunch of people and make the business economically viable, and then they'll sell it, right? But you have to fire 50,000 people sometimes. Now, I assume his justification is, by firing 50, I
keep the business open.
Mm-hmm.
And I save another 50 who are also working
there. Mm-hmm. Real talk, that's the type you do this should be president.
Leadership. Yeah.
Son, you need that.
No, type of decisions you make, yeah.
You need to make hard decisions. And I was talking to a buddy of mine who's in one of these exec, a buddy of ours who's in these high-level exec, and can't say exactly what he does, but, you know, he said, you know what? We get paid tons of money. You know what we get paid millions of dollars for? The severity of the decisions that we make. When I make a decision, it is affecting thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, the person who decides what shirts are going to be printed for Levi's every year makes millions of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars, like tons of money, because that's a big fucking decision.
Mm-hmm.
You're about to print hundreds of thousands of blue t-shirts with a little crocodile on it.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know? And the same thing with these execs. They don't get paid for the hours they work. They get paid for the work. Monumental the decisions they make are, and how many people get affected with it, and how much of that shit can you take on your conscience?
Probably like Dave Chappelle said, he probably had 500 fucks in him.
Yo, real talk.
Like, he wasn't, you know, like, you probably could only do that for so long. That's why you see a lot of these big successful people or these rich successful people, like, just walk away from certain shit, because it's like, dog, like, these are certain decisions that people don't think about when you think of, like, all these rich, affluent, you know, motherfuckers. Like, you're the cash cow. A lot of your decisions that people don't think twice about literally is the difference between somebody's livelihood and, you know, not knowing where the next meal is going to come from, you know? So it's like, how many times do you have that in you before you're like, okay, I can't do this no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to go nuts. It's a hard decision to make. It's hard decisions to make, man. And, you know, I guess that's why bosses are bosses and workers are workers, because some people could do that shit with no fucking conscience. It's like, it's a business decision. Like, it's hard to dig, but hey, this is what we had to do. You know? But
well, shit, man. That's been another episode of Flagrant 2, unless we got anything else to cover.
Why don't we
promote some shit?
Why don't we just promote one thing this time?
Yeah, let's promote this one thing. Fuck everything else.
Great call.
Wednesday, tomorrow, if you're listening to this, on Tuesday, Highline Ballroom. Come through. Come pack this place out.
8 o'clock p.m.
Yo, we see a lot of the merch went out already. You know what I'm saying? So make sure you wear your merch. You know what I'm saying? If you got a VIP ticket, you know what I mean? You'll meet us. We'll sign some shit. We'll talk some shit. It'll be a fun time. Hopefully, I guess it's still coming through. It's going to be fun, man. Bring a beer.
Guys, we're not friendly for corporations, but that's why we need y'all to come to this show. Everybody bailing on us left and right, except y'all, and we appreciate that y'all shit keep to
it
death.
Us, y'all keep it to us fluid, death. Man, but, you know, keep it tight. Throw
Yo,
up the assholes
real talk,
and shit.
When you see us, keep it fucking tight, yes, all sir. Right? We're going to see you at the show. It's going to be hot. It's Wednesday, right?
It's Wednesday, yeah.
Damn, bro. I can't wait. It's going to be so good.
I can't wait. It's going to be a fun time.
Hold up.
Man.
Get your tickets at HighlineBallroom.com. It's going to be fun, man. I'm very excited, man. You know, we really out here just toasting to the assholes.
Yes, sir.
You know, so if you part of the tribe, come through, pull up, fuck with us this Wednesday night. And yeah, we're going to do it, man. Get your merch. Shout out to High U Clothing for holding it down.
Yes, sir.
And I still don't want to put this show online. I'm gonna be honest with you guys. I think it should be a treat for the people who can make it, so we can say the wildest shit we can say and then be out.
Real talk.
And if there's no guests, we're gonna make up for it in more theories like molestation makes you great. We will make up for somebody. This shit gonna be special.
I just like be a to special clarify, night, man. Greatness is not worth it. Okay, I want to put that out there. It is not worth
it. It's on his vision board.
Yeah, it's not at all. All right, yo. Thank you guys so much for listening. Listen, this is Flagrant 2. No easy buckets analysis by assholes. Water cooler commentary for your sports memes. I just realized that we didn't intro the show because we were so tight at Philly, but thank you for fucking with us. Die, Eagles, die.
Thanks for fucking us up, Philly.
February 7th. Fuck Philly.